divisive debate over civil liberties and the president's powers. Lawmakers voted that American citizens suspected of terrorism may not be held indefinitely without charges or a trial. A new Pew Research Center study shows the U.S. birth rate dropped to its lowest level since 1920. The birth rate is just over 62 births per 1,000 women of childbearing age. This is NBC News Radio. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Susan Rice calls yesterday's vote elevating the status of the Palestinian Authority unfortunate and counterproductive, reports NBC's Danielle Lee.
The fear is that yesterday's vote will make Palestine less likely to negotiate a peace agreement directly with Israel moving forward.
Palestine was granted status in the U.N. as a non-member observer state. One of the two Powerball winners is expected to be named at a press conference today in Missouri. The other winning ticket was bought in Fountain Hills, Arizona. That person has yet to come forward.
Well, I'd like to know who it is because, you know, Fountain Hills is a pretty small town and you know most everybody.
The winners will split $588 million. And NASA's Messenger spacecraft has detected ice and other frozen organic materials in the poles of Mercury. It was found in the permanently shadowed craters of the closest planet to the sun. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Today we're asking people to name their one favorite meal for one from Stouffer's.
One favorite? Stouffer's lasagna. But how about the barbecue chicken?
Grilled white meat chicken coated with a sweet and tangy sauce with a side of cheesy potatoes topped with crisp bacon.
Yes.
So that's your one Stouffer's favorite.
Oh, but I also like Stouffer's meatloaf.
Classic meatloaf with a rich tomato glaze, smothered in a savory gravy with a tasty side of... Hey, where are you going?
You kidding? The store!
Stock up on Stouffer's Meals for One at your convenient Dollar General store. An important message from Medicare. It's Medicare open enrollment, now through December 7th. Time to compare plans. Happy with your current one? You can always keep it, but it never hurts to look. And check out the preventive benefits you get after the healthcare law, with no co-pays or deductibles, like a yearly wellness visit. Savings, too, like over 50% off brand name prescriptions in a donut hole. Medicare open enrollment. Now's the time. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Kill the $1 bill. The U.S. Mint is preparing a report for Congress detailing how much money the government can save if all $1 currency is switched from bills to coins. Estimates find that we taxpayers could save $4.4 billion over 30 years. Many other nations have made the equivalent switch. Ludicrous here, you say? Not in the current climate of Washington, where lawmakers are feeling pressure during these fiscal cliff talks to cut spending any way they can. Those fiscal cliff talks not going so well. So says the House Speaker, and the back-and-forth hope and fear of the cliff keeps sending global stock markets up and down. Asian markets higher today, but European indexes are fighting to a draw after finding themselves lower early. Right now, S&P futures are up not quite 1 point. No more Bazooka Joe. Bazooka Bubblegum, which included a tiny comic in every package since 1953, is being redesigned. New look, new flavor, no Joe. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Have you tried Snorebreak? Snorebreak is the easy and exciting new way to sleep, and it works the very first night. It's simple. Place one Snorebreak liner under your pillowcase before bed. You won't even know it's there. Each Snorebreak liner is infused with natural essential oils that guarantee a real difference. It's the same soothing technology used in hospitals, available for your home for the first time ever. Snorebreak is soft and virtually undetectable, and it's guaranteed to work. For a limited time, you can try Snorebreak risk-free before it's in stores. Just call 1-800-475-5227. See a difference from the very first night. Get your risk-free trial of Snorebreak while supplies last. Just call 1-800-475-5227. That's 1-800-475-5227. Call 1-800-475-5227.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names. claims that don't fit your business. Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Change mandates vision. Vision mandates intelligence. Intelligence mandates thought, and thought demands attention. As we look for leadership that demonstrates courage and conscience, we ask the deliberate question that provides the path to truth. That question is, are you ready for change? And if you are you ready for First Shift with Tony Trupiano?
Good morning, everybody. I am Tony Trupiano, and a happy Friday, November 30 to you, 2012, as we inch ever closer to December. And it's just around the corner. In fact, come Monday, it'll be December for all of us. And we have a amazing weather weekend staring us in the face for the end of November, beginning of December. By the way, Monday's high is supposed to be 62 on Monday. Yes, no such thing as global warming. I'm not complaining. Let it be nice. I have no issue with that at all. Thanks for punching in with us on this early Friday morning. Before I do anything, want to thank my brother and friend, Chris Mihalakis, the president of the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO, and the Reverend D. Alexander Bullock for hosting a community leader labor summit yesterday at AFSCME Council 25. It happened last evening. It was amazingly well attended. A very diverse crowd from labor, from the private sector, from the public sector, the community activists, and everyone in between. An amazingly frank dialogue, a very educational opportunity. It was very empowering, and so glad that I was able to be in attendance and take it all in. I learned a great deal, and Chris and the Reverend Bullock did a fabulous job. In fact, we're going to talk to Reverend Bullock in just a couple hours. Let's go through what we're looking at for today, and then we'll get this thing going. Attorney Robert Day and Dana Hill, a homeowner, will be joining us. There's an interesting story going on. The Police and Fire Pension Board invested in a lot of foreclosures. As a result of that, people, of course, had lost their houses. And, well, the bottom line is there's a way for the Police and Fire Pension Board to ease some pain and also recoup some of their badly invested dollars. But, of course, this all comes down to legal paperwork, et cetera. We'll walk through that. Mike Thompson, the editorial cartoonist and blogger for the Detroit Free Press, joins us today to talk about the fiscal cliff and his unique take, as always. And an honest take of what's going on. As I promised, the Reverend D. Alexander Bullock begins his regular series with us starting today. He'll be with us every Friday at 8 o'clock, and we look forward to visiting with him today. State Representative Lisa Brown on the omnibus bills that are anti-women, anti-choice, anti-healthcare, and, well, pro-Lisa Brown. That's what I am. We'll talk to her. Joe DeSano, our political insider and strategist, joins us in the 9 o'clock hour, and he has an amazing menu of topics to get to today. And, of course, we never know what Joe's going to say until he says it. And, well, it's what makes the show so interesting, especially to end our week. With all that said, it's time to get going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Our first word today is debate. You know, and when I was in high school, actually, I was on the debate team. I'm sure that comes as a shock to so many of you. And I actually made it to the state finals in my senior year. It might have been my junior year. My memory's not what it once was, but I did not win the state championship. But what I did do was learn a skill set. If you're an attorney, if you're a business person, heck, if you're a spouse, the one thing you learn how to do, some better than others, is to debate. Debate, of course, is taking a series or a set of information. Notice I didn't say facts. A set of information and then taking sides on that. I have side A, you have side B, and that's where the fireworks normally begin. Do facts matter in a debate? I would suggest they do. If you're on the debate team, not so much if you're not on the debate team. If you're looking to just win, it's really the better order that wins. Honestly, if you put the words in the right order, chances are you can convince a lot of people that no matter what it is you're saying, there's some validity to it, and the argument ends up falling into your win category. That doesn't make it right, but it does make it real. Listen, if you need to debate something, and those of you that are activists, which many of you are, understand it isn't necessarily about the facts. It's about how well you reiterate the words. Now, I want you to be truthful, so let me be upfront and clear about that. I want the debate to be based on real facts, truth, honesty, reality. But the truth is, rarely, especially in the political realm, do facts matter as much as passion and diction. Sadly true. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, if you want to win, sometimes you just have to be able to beat it up to the point where you just sound like you know what the hell you're talking about. You know, one of our first words was confidence this week. One was logic. Well, you know what? Confidence matters more than logic, especially when it comes to debate. Don't be discouraged. I honestly believe that if you learn the facts and then you learn how to dialogue about them properly, yes, not only can you win the debate, you could probably scare off more than one opponent. You see, one of the realities of debating is that when you win, people run away. And that is today's first word.
Lions.
Stafford takes, looks, throws deep middle. Got a man out there. It's Calvin at the five. Makes the catch.
Tigers.
Monroe edges off of second. The 1-0. Swinging a fly ball. Wow. Left field. It's deep. It's way back. The Tigers are going to the World Series.
Red Wings.
And it's Red Wings. For the first time in 11 years are the Stanley Cup champions.
And Pistons.
The Detroit Pistons have just shocked the Los Angeles Lakers.
The First Shift crew gives you some Detroit sports knowledge to drop next time you're at the water cooler.
Absolutely. Time to say good morning to my number one sports fan, Anthony. Good morning, son. How are you?
I'm tired today.
It's Friday, brother.
It is Friday.
It's Friday. Today's a good day.
Too bad I get cable and then college football ends.
That you will fill that void. I have every confidence that you'll fill that void. I'm not worried about you. You're going to be just fine. Yes, there's no college football to talk about this weekend. We are just waiting to find out what the bowl bids will be, and then we'll of course have to wait for that till the end of the year. So what are we're a solid month away from any more college football, aren't we?
Championships are all this week.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Well,
and then I think the bowls start in 2 weeks.
2 weeks? That early, huh?
Yeah, right before Christmas.
I keep forgetting that, you know, there are so many bowls that don't really get national attention. I keep forgetting that. I mean, they'll get some attention, but they're not that big a deal. Anyway, first of all, we should, and we will mention, the NHL word early this morning. Don't expect anything to happen anytime soon. Both sides are still very far apart. There was some talk on asking the players to go ahead and vote on what's out there just to get an idea of how close they are. Of course, that's not the way collective bargaining works, so that's not going to happen. I'm going to again suggest, Anthony, if they don't have this done by Christmas, the season will be canceled. And for the second time in a decade, we will lose a year of professional hockey, which doesn't bode well for anyone. I'm more than a little confused on this, but I guess it's not my game. I can't play it. Gary Bettman needs to be replaced. I don't get it. So, anyway, NHL, that's the NHL news. The Major League Baseball news is the winter meetings open next week, and there are rumors flying everywhere, some of them involving the Detroit Tigers. Of course, they're just rumors at this point. Will they end up with Josh Hamilton? Will they get rid of Ryan Rayburn? Who knows what'll happen? So it could be a very interesting week next week.
I thought they did get rid of Rayburn.
Well, they cut him. I'm sorry, there are six teams that are interested in him, so I should have said, where will Ryan Rayburn go? Anyway, there's lots of, are they going to keep Anibal Sanchez? There's talk about them going after Zach Greinke. They're saying that Mike Ilitch is willing to go after another huge contract if that's what he needs to do. So it could be a very interesting week next week.
Yeah. All those are nice fantasies, but we'll see what they end up doing this offseason.
Yeah, well, next week's a big week for Major League Baseball. They have their winter meetings, and I would suggest that Dave Dombrowski's going with a checkbook in hand and is ready to deal. I'm going to suggest he's ready to deal. When you're that close to a World Series win, because they made the World Series and you don't get there, you got to work a little bit harder. So they'll do that. All right, let's take a quick break here. Come back, we'll look at the Lions matchup with the Indianapolis Colts this weekend, and then we'll get this first shift program underway for this end of the week Friday program. Number 888-552-3595. Email tony@thetonyshow.org. Twitter @TonyTrupiano. By the way, we picked up 7 Facebook likes yesterday. That's a pretty significant pickup for one afternoon. Let's take a break. A lot to get to as we work our way through the program, and we'll get it all going right after this break.
Hi, this is Joe DeSano from Main Street Strategies, and I want to wish Tony Trupiano and each and every one of his audience a happy and restful holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report brought to you by Xfinity Internet.
Taking your early morning commute, it is all quiet. Just following road construction has you reduced down to 2 lanes on 75 northbound between West Road and Sibley Road. Coming up at 9 a.m., more construction on 275 northbound right at Michigan Avenue. And also starting at 9 a.m., your left lane is going to be closed on 75 northbound at 8 Mile for sign work. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Xfinity Internet, where all of our lanes are fast lanes. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Sign up today by calling 1-800-XFINITY.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 43 with a chance of showers in the late afternoon. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 52 degrees, and it's currently 39 outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. Well, Anthony, the Detroit Lions play the Indianapolis Colts this weekend. Let's see. Indianapolis, 7-4 record. The Detroit Lions, a 4-7 record. I don't know that the records are what we really need to be looking at, but talent is. And, well, hey, I got to tell you, I'm feeling good about this one for some reason. I think the Lions are going to win.
Any specific reason?
No, I did just, you know, we're not playing to our potential. There's no question that's true. And you and I were talking yesterday. You know, they're not getting blown out. You know, the Lions aren't getting blown out. You know, and they're, you know, I was talking to your brother Chris the other day. And I, you know, the games that we were winning last year, we're losing this year. So count that however you want to count it. But I don't think we have a bad team. I just think we've not taking advantage of some breaks, and we've not capitalized when we should have, but we certainly have the talent and the skill level to win this game, and so I'm going to give it to Detroit by 10 points.
Wow, by 10 points to a playoff team?
Yeah.
Wow, all right. I don't see us winning this one. The Colts are just, they're a good football team. I mean, Andrew Luck came in. They're just going to show how bad their quarterback situation was last year. I mean, Panamin steps out, Dan Orlovsky and whoever else they had comes in. They can't win a football game, and now Luck comes in. He's a pretty good quarterback. I mean, he's still a rookie. He's not doing anything crazy out there, but he's managing the game well. And it shows how good the Colts were. They just need a quarterback, so I'm going to go with the Colts at least by, 4 or 5.
Okay. Well, now we've got it. So we're tied again. So this will be our tiebreaker.
It's going to go the Lions games here and out, huh?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just, there's no way we can make the playoffs at this point, right?
I mean, I'm sure there's a possibility, but no.
At 9-7, if we ran and won out, and we would be 9-7, right?
Yeah, and I mean, then, you know, just a couple more teams would have to lose. I mean, 9-7 makes it sometimes, but I mean, usually not.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, well, it's wishful thinking, but okay, well, I don't want to do that. Well, play for your draft pick, because I don't want to lose anymore. I don't enjoy losing. There's nothing fun about losing. Not to mention, you know, when you get a higher draft pick, it screws with your salary cap, and then not anymore.
Well, since the new collective bargaining agreement, it's the rookie contracts are very affordable.
Oh, that's right. You're right. That is
a quarter of what we used to have to pay.
You're right. I forgot about that. Well, anyway, we'll see what happens. And by the way, you're more than welcome to come over on Sunday and watch the game if you'd like. I know you won't, but you're welcome to do it. And since you haven't invited me over to watch the game, I'll leave it there. All right, that's it for sports for this Friday morning. 888-552-3595. Our first piece of news has to be right to work or right to work for less or what happened yesterday. What happened yesterday was late morning, an announcement came out from the news services that Governor Snyder had met with the Republican leadership. Now, there's more to this story, and I'll get to it. Met with the Republican leadership and decided not to move on right to work yesterday. What wasn't known until later in the day was that Governor Snyder had met with UAW President Bob King privately, and Bob King was there at the request and of all the amalgamated unions in Michigan. He was the representative for everyone, not just the UAW yesterday. The conversation between he and Governor Snyder was a private conversation. There is nothing leaked from that conversation. But we do know that Governor Snyder did meet with the Republican leadership after he met with UAW President Bob King. And the only thing he said after both of those meetings was that he was encouraging business and labor to continue to talk. I don't know what that means. What is the compromise? Is there a compromise on right to work? Of course there's not. So if they're going to talk about something that's business and labor, that's fine. But this isn't about business and labor. It's about politicians and labor. And that's a totally different ballgame. So let me tell you what did happen at the state capitol yesterday. Hundreds of labor activists showed up to lobby lawmakers, hundreds of them, and not just on right to work, on the Educational Achievement Authority and many other issues. I can assure you the Republicans are starting to feel some pressure. Now, I'm not trying to suggest that they're getting intimidated. I'm not trying to suggest that you can relax. In fact, I need to encourage you, and we'll do this a little bit later on with Reverend Bullock, I need to encourage you to go to the state capitol if you have time next Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. That's when the legislature is in session. And lobby for your point of view. They plan on being in session next week and the week after, and that will be it, supposedly. It just depends on what's introduced, what moves, what doesn't move. Now, if they do introduce right to work for less on the Republicans in the legislature, chances are that'll suck up all the oxygen in the room and nothing else will get moved or done. That's not a trade-off for me in any kind of conceivably good way. So, we need to continue, and I did, by the way, post on the Facebook page yesterday the address and contact information for the governor's office, and through that link you can also get to your lawmakers. But, ladies and gentlemen, the hard work is in front of us, not behind us. And until we are told that either right to work has either been defeated or will not be introduced, we cannot let up on what we need to do. So be mindful of that. So it was, you know, I posted this to Facebook yesterday. Sometimes no news is good news, and that right to work was not introduced yesterday is good news. It's not great news. It's not a victory. It's a delay, but we'll take the delay at this point because that leaves open, realistically now, it leaves open the idea at the very least that this could be stalled for a period of time, or even it's not going to just simply go away, or it may simply go away, but I don't know, there won't be anything simple about it if it goes away. Whatever the grand bargain will be, and I don't know what that is, does Jace Bolger and Randy Richardville come to labor and say, all right, we'll drop right to work, but you need to support fill in the blank? Very possible that could happen. I don't know what fill in the blank is. I don't know what they would want labor to support. I don't know if they care what labor supports. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. I know that the governor politically doesn't want to play the game because he's not good at it. But if he has to, I'm telling you right now, he will sign right to work if it's put on his desk. We cannot allow that to happen. All right. Quick break here. Love to have you join me on a Friday. What's on your mind? What do you got going on this weekend? What do you want to vent about? What do you need therapy for? It's got something positive to share. Feel free to do it. Dave Bing, by the way, on CNN yesterday. We'll get to that audio when we continue. Really interesting interview. And apparently he's working a whole lot harder than I ever thought he was. 888-552-3595. This is First Shift. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report is brought to you by McDonald's.
Taking your early morning commute, it is all quiet. Just following road construction has you reduced down to two lanes on 75 northbound between West Road and Sibley Road. Coming up at 9 a.m., more construction on 275 northbound right at Michigan Avenue. And also starting at 9 a.m., your left lane is going to be closed on 75 northbound at 8 Mile for sign work. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Drive through McDonald's today, and when you pick up $10 worth of McDonald's Arch Cards for anyone on your holiday list, you'll enjoy a free medium McCafe drink for yourself. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 43 with a chance of showers in the late afternoon. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 52 degrees, and it's currently 39 outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Sorry, we're closed. And one of the saddest signs of the times, this message is popping up all across the country as governors and legislators are cutting off funds and shutting off access to one of the finest, most popular assets owned by the people of our country, state parks. More than 6,600 of these jewels draw some 700 million visitors a year to their grand vistas, historic sites, wildlife, campgrounds, educational centers, and lodges. Parks are literally a tangible expression of America's democratic ideals, common ground for every man, woman, and child to enjoy and experience. For the middle class and the poor, who can't jet off to luxury resorts for a getaway or vacation, these spaces offer a form of real wealth, something that each of us literally owns, knitting us together as a community and a nation. Yet, too many spiritually shriveled, small-minded, and short-sighted state officials are snuffing out this uniting social force, stupidly treating parks as nothing but a budget number, or worse, a piece of the nanny state to be axed in the name of ideological purity. Top politicos in most states are closing many of their parks, slashing hours and services at others, or simply handing over the public's asset to profiteering corporations. Idaho's governor has proposed eliminating the entire parks department. California shut the gates of a fourth of the state's parks last year. Officials in Arizona and Florida intend to privatize their parks. Washington State has cut off most of its park funding, and Ohio has okayed oil drilling in its parks to replace state financing. This is Jim Hightower saying, as Woody Guthrie said of outlaws, some will rob you with a six-gun, some with a fountain pen. Shutting parks is theft by the in-laws, the political insiders who are stealing the people's property, stealing from America itself.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Got something to tell Tony? We want to hear from you. Call now.
888-552-3595. Every voice matters. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour, Mayor Dave Bing did what they call a red chair interview on CNN yesterday. What that means is it wasn't a Q&A interview. It was just an extemporaneous little speech. I want to air it for you pretty much intact, and then we'll come back and chat about it. Here's Mayor Dave Bing on CNN.
I'm Dave Bing, the mayor of the city of Detroit, and I know the reason that I took this position is to make the hard decision so that this city would have a future. But it's probably the second most difficult job in this country behind the president. I believe people feel the mayor in a particular city can solve all the problems, and that's not really true. That probably is the most difficult thing I've had to deal with, just managing expectations. We are in an environment, I think, of entitlement. We've got a lot of people who are city workers who for years and years, 20, 30 years, think they're entitled to a job and all that comes with it. Nobody wants to go backwards. But in order for us to move this city forward, we're going to have to take a step or two backwards. And then I think all of us have to participate in the pain that's upon us right now. It was a booming, thriving city. It was the automotive capital of the world. I mean, dominated by the big three, you know, General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler. You know, Motown was still here when I got here, so that was very big. Over time, things started to change. Motown left the city. The automotive industry started to go down. It went backwards for a while, all the way to the point where two of our major companies went bankrupt. And we lost our population. Our population, when I first got here, was 1.3, 1.4 million. We're now about 700,000 people. And so you've got a city that has 138, 139 square miles that you could fit Manhattan, Boston, and San Francisco in. And now we have 700,000 people. So we got all of this infrastructure and all of this overhead and all of this cost without the revenue to give the people the services. I don't think Detroit's going to be what it was. We got to look at ourselves differently. I don't know that we're going to be the same blue-collar town that we were, that we were known for. 10 years from now, if you were to come to Detroit, what you would see that then that you don't see now is a completely renovated riverfront. I think our downtown will be very strong. I think our midtown would be very strong. And we would see people that are living out in, you know, in a neighborhood where there's only one or two homes. We're not going to see that because we're going to try to convince those people that they need to move so that there's density in all of our neighborhoods so that we can really look out for each other. We can help protect each other so that we can bring people and families back together again like it used to be.
That's Mayor Dave Bing. He also said that he has the second hardest job in America, second only to President Barack Obama, which actually made some national news. He sounded fatalistic. He sounded discouraged. He sounded, perhaps in his mind, realistic, and he sounded long-term as opposed to short-term. And, of course, he sounded the warning bell with regard to city workers, which is code for union workers. And basically what he said is they're acting like victims and they feel they're entitled. Imagine that. They feel they're entitled to a paycheck and promises. Oh, Mayor Bing, you've got work to do. 888-552-3595. Les in Detroit joins us this morning. And happy holidays to you, my brother. And thanks for punching in this morning. Les, are you there?
Can you hear me?
I got you.
Okay. All right. Tony, that entitlement line.
Wait. No. You don't do anything until you say what?
Good morning, fellow patriots.
Thank you, my brother. Now you can say whatever you want.
Okay. Then the word entitlement always bothers me, yeah, Tony. You know, he feel like we entitled. It's an entitlement to get your trash picked up. It's an entitlement to have law enforcement. It's an entitlement to have jobs. It's an entitlement. You know, every time I hear the word entitlement, I attach that to Republican Party. Because that's what they feel, like these entitlements, you know, that like Social Security is an entitlement.
Actually, you know, Les, very quickly, and I want to gauge your thoughts on this. Somebody posted to my Facebook page the other day, instead of calling them entitlements, we should call them what they really are, which are earned benefits.
That's right. That is right. They are earned benefits. I paid into the security. I've been working since I was, well, longer than that, you know, shining shoes, delivering paper. But my first official, Social Security number job was at 16. Okay. So I paid into a system where it has benefited me to this day. And I'm glad it was in place so I could benefit off of it. It wasn't, you know, nobody knows what the future holds, and they should have insurance. And that's just an insurance policy for the people. And they seem that these Republicans seem like that. That's an entitlement.
Not an entitlement. That's really less where I have a problem with what Mayor Bings had to say. Because, you know, when the other thing about saying that people are entitled, it takes the responsibility off of his leadership and puts it on the citizens. And so what he, in my opinion, what Dave Bing was actually saying is, doesn't really matter what I do, I'm never going to make people happy because they just feel they're owed something they're not owed.
Well, I don't know about you, Tony, and maybe you've probably heard it, him say this, but I have never heard him say, I'm trying to bring some jobs here to Detroit. I've never heard him say that.
I've never heard it either.
See, that's what I'm saying. Any other mayor in the city, I've heard him say, jobs, we got to bring jobs here. We got to bring some jobs here. I've heard this from the leadership. And this guy is not a leader. He's just some kind of a puppet ruler that they put in there to manipulate the structure of Detroit.
Listen, when he says that his most difficult job is managing expectations, then he has his priorities way out of whack.
That when he just said we're going to build up the downtown, the skyline, and what about this is Detroit has been always a middle class town where the people love their homes and they in the backyard and the barbecue on Saturday, you know, with the family. This is a middle class town where jobs has always been the focus. And this seems like this mayor has never focused on bringing jobs here to the city. I have never heard him say, well, I'm going to see about some jobs.
Now, again, he's got his priorities out of whack. Les, thank you for the call, and have a great weekend. I certainly don't disagree with what Les said. I don't understand why he would give the interview he gave. Certainly that's not a re-election speech, is it? 888-552-3595. Theo in Detroit joins us this morning. Merry Christmas to you, Theo, and what's on your mind today?
Well, thank you, and Merry Christmas to you. I've been missing in action, but not on purpose. I wanted to join in this conversation after you played that clip. I agree with Les and you as well on this subject, and the term earned benefits, I think, is something that we need to continue using and encourage others to use it as well. Because if you talk about what people are entitled to in this community, they are entitled to recall a mayor who has, from the very beginning, done nothing but put down the people who live here. Even when he had an opportunity to go and speak with the president, he did not ask, or answer, I should say. The president asked him what did he want for Detroit, and he didn't have any response for him, told him he'd get back to him, to paraphrase the situation that was reported. The other issue, excuse me, on that is the fact that the president sent monies to the city of Detroit for the people in the form of grants, which were not used totally, not used for the purpose intended, and whatever was left over ended up being sent back to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, you know, Theo, you make such a good point. And we're talking about millions upon millions of dollars that were either misused or not used that had to go back to the federal government. And this is money that would have been used for infrastructure. This is money that would have been used for needed assistance. We're talking about families that are just down on their luck or found themselves, like so many other families in Southeast Michigan, either underemployed or unemployed. You know, Theo, it's embarrassing the way this mayor has managed the city. It is embarrassing what he has done to the people that have not abandoned it. And then to turn around and say that the city workers feel entitled? How are we entitled because we want to get paid to do our job?
Right. He's blaming the residents of the city for his own incompetence. Not only that, there are grant dollars that have been, relocated to Wyandotte. Grant dollars that were being managed here in the city of Detroit, managed well, I might add, and to the custody of a nonprofit organization that did not have a contract with the ink dry on it. And then an appointee of his, Chris Brown, took $2 million out of one bank, put it in another bank, and then when he was called on it, and it's been shown on the city council's rebroadcast, by the way. He admitted it and said, oh, I put the money back.
Yeah.
That's a felony, whether he put the money back or not.
Yeah, Theo, we got to get to the break. We'll certainly continue this conversation on the other side. Bomani, stay where you're at. You are next. Give us a call, 888-552-3595. Mayor Dave Bing. That's all I'm going to say. We'll be back.
Having a wonderful Christmas time. The party's on.
Hi, this is Susan Gilles with Merce News Service, and I just want to wish everybody a happy holiday.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Need a boost to be your best? Drink SK Energy Shots. None of the bad stuff in it, so you never crash or get the jitters. Just a smooth rush of energy that tastes great. SK Energy Shots make the switch to a better source of energy. Available at GNC, CVS, and your local retailers.
Recently on First Shift.
Welcome, Tom in Detroit.
The one gentleman, the rich ultra-billionaire, that, as you called it, wasted $140 million, and it would have been better to give it to the poor. What do you think... Where do you think that $140 million went? What happened to it? Did he just burn it? The money is spent on advertisement, hotels, anything to do. That money is spent. It put people to work. That money wasn't just, they didn't just burn it.
Oh, so now Sheldon Adelson's a job creator. That's what you're saying.
It sure certainly is.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310 WDEW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today. And tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
And welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. Let us just go right back to the phones. Feel free to join us. 888-552-3595. Good morning, Bamani. Merry Christmas to you, and welcome back to First Shift, my friend.
Happy holidays to you, my brother. You all right?
I'm doing really well. Nice to hear from you.
Nice. Always nice to. Well, I listen to you every day, so I don't miss you at all. But it sounded a little weird. It didn't really sound like Dave Bing at first. You know, I mean, I assume that you know it is him, but it didn't really sound. His voice sounded a little different. But anyway, other than that, he sounds like a fool. That's what he sounds like. I mean, yeah. But, it reminded me of the same nonsense that John Boehner is talking about, you know, this stuff about entitlement. What about corporate welfare? Ain't that entitlement? You know, what about, some of the things that we do for all these rich people? I mean, isn't that entitlement? I mean, I don't think, people having a job or being able to think they're supposed to have a job or keep a job or... Is a form of entitlement, just like, you know, Social Security. Those are not entitlements. Those are things that people work for, they earn, and they should be allowed to keep those things.
Well, you know, Go ahead.
I'm just saying, Dave Bing, I mean, clearly, I mean, if it's not any more obvious that he's a Republican, I mean, he's spilling the same nonsense as those Republicans in Washington, you know, and thinking his job is so hard that he can be compared to, I mean, I guess it's the second hardest job other than being Barack Obama. He's just gone beyond ridiculous.
It's embarrassing and it's offensive and it's insulting. That whole speech is insulting to the people that live in the city and the people that work in the city. And again, as I said, this is certainly not a re-election speech. If he thinks he's going to, yeah, I don't think he's going to run for re-election, Bamani. I really don't. But he certainly didn't do himself any favors. And again, this his little interview there on CNN did get some national attention, mostly from the line that we didn't play that was the second hardest job in the country. Thanks for your call, my brother. Glad to hear from you, and thanks for listening every day. I do appreciate it. Let's go to Monica and welcome her to First Shift. Monica, good morning. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tony. Wanted to just put some facts out there because I feel as though the mayor is either extremely confused or is just showing his Republican colors. But the truth is that the unions of the city of Detroit came to the table and negotiated in good faith to give up concessions equaling $109 million. That was money that we could have saved last year, but last budget season. You've got Councilmember Joanne Watson, who has repeatedly brought to the table that we could actually cut our health care costs, which is costing the city $300 million, we could cut it by two-thirds. That's another $200 million in cost savings. This mayor has been unwilling to go and get the $224 million in revenue sharing that the state of Michigan has admitted, Andy Dillon has admitted, that they owe. So you're looking at right there almost a half a billion dollars that this city not only could have garnered, but also we could be saving going forward. So when you begin to talk about entitlements, what about the fact that Mayor Bing, his business, he received Bing Steel because Mayor Coleman Alexander Young went to the Fords and said, we need to support this man. We need to assure that he's in business, and we need to make sure that there are more black business owners dealing with the auto supply portion of the auto industry.
Tell him
so
like
when
it
you
is.
Talk about entitlement, he himself is a beneficiary of entitlement.
To tell him
and
like
the
it is.
Of Detroit have also they have stayed. They have weathered the storm. They have paid. They have come to the table and made concessions. And him and the governor of this state, they actually blew those $109 million of cost savings, of concessions, away. And so when you talk about entitlements, let's tell the truth. Let's tell the whole truth.
God bless you. Monica, thank you for the call. Beautiful call. Smart lady. Appreciate it. 888-552-3595. Monica had every one of her facts correct. You want to talk about debate? Stay away from Monica. You won't win. Charles in Detroit joins us now. Good morning, Charles, and thanks for punching in. Happy holidays to you.
Good morning. And I want to agree with what Monica said. And, well, first I want to say that workers are entitled to wages and good wages and benefits. So, I mean, you know, to try to use the word entitlement as if workers aren't entitled, yeah, they are entitled. They should think they're entitled. But in this case, as Monica said, the Detroit unions took extraordinary concessions last spring, agreed to them, and the state of Michigan prevented the mayor from bringing them to city council for approval. In a similar way to what they're doing now, they threatened not to give Detroit money needed to meet payroll if Detroit accepted concessions, forced more concessions on the unions concerning work rules. So I don't know what the mayor is talking about. The unions have taken concessions, historically extraordinary concessions, and so that's a mistake. That's a slander, basically, of the working people for the city of Detroit.
Again, Charles, and thank
you. He seems to have amnesia about what happened in the election because, and it sounds like Romney, entitlements, you know, denigrating entitlements. The people of Detroit and the state of Michigan all just voted against Romneysia, you know, in large numbers, especially in Detroit. So the people of Detroit aren't having this, you know, misstatements about us.
No, and Charles, thanks for your call. As I said, this is offensive. At its least, it's offensive. The people of Detroit, the city workers, do not see themselves as victims. They just wanted to be treated fairly. Well, let's get to Keith in Detroit and welcome him to First Shift. Happy holidays to you, Keith. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Tommy.
Good morning.
I'm a former employee of the city of Detroit. I worked there until 1992. When I left the city, I was making about $25,000 a year. Now, the people that's working for the city are taking cuts and they're paying much more for health care and into their pensions, much more. Some of the people that were working in my title are actually making about the same or less than they were making 20 years ago. I quit working for the city in 1992. So when they being said entitlements, I almost fainted, and I just woke up. I don't understand what his vision is of the city.
I don't think he understands, Keith, and I don't mean to interrupt you. We're just out of time for this hour, but no, he's got some problems. The mayor has some problems, and he certainly has done himself no favors, and he owes the city of Detroit, its residents, and its workers, an apology. We'll be back after the top of the hour break.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report brought to you by Xfinity Internet.
You still have an accident-free commute, but we do have some construction coming up at 7 a.m. on 8 Mile Road, both directions, just west of Telegraph. Left lane is going to be closed. Also starting at 796 westbound at Kent Lake Road, single lane closure for lighting crews. And 75, both directions at 8 Mile, left lane is going to be closed starting at 9 a.m. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Xfinity Internet, where all of our lanes are fast lanes. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Sign up today by calling 1-800-XFINITY.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 43 with a chance of showers in the late afternoon. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 52 degrees. And it's currently 39 outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Hey, it's Joe. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 AM WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is up next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Dirk Van. President Obama hitting the road to fight the fiscal cliff. He's hosting a campaign-style event in Pennsylvania calling for higher top-end tax rates. NBC's Steve Handelsman.
Both sides agree taxes will go up on the rich, but how much will rates rise? That depends on the deal on Medicare. How spending will be cut on that huge and popular program.
Clock's ticking, but House Speaker John Boehner says no progress has been made on those budget negotiations. Tough times in Europe. Unemployment in the Eurozone hitting another record, rising to 11.7% in October. And they call him New York's finest for a reason. Police officer Larry DePrimo spent his own hard-earned cash to buy boots for a shivering homeless man. NBC's Stephanie Goss.
He saw the homeless man sitting with no shoes on. In that moment, he decided it wasn't just his job to protect. It was also his job to serve.
Officer DePrimo's story going viral on the Internet. This is NBC News Radio. Climate scientists are out with a new warning that warming temperatures are accelerating polar melting. NBC's Ann Thompson.
The melting accounts for 20% of sea level rise in the past two decades, according to the study, adding 11 millimeters. It's like pouring in more than 26 Lake Tahoes.
More kudos for the wonder drug. A new study says aspirin can help prevent liver diseases, including liver cancer, the age-old headache remedy currently used by millions of people to reduce the risk of heart attack. Never mind Congress's fiscal cliff, drivers have their own at the gas pump. AAA says prices are poised to turn in a record annual average for this year. And fresh-cut Christmas trees still dominate, but retailers say there's been a tremendous increase in sales of artificial trees, which are gaining more acceptance in the digital age. Sales have jumped double digits this year and are expected to top $1 billion. I'm Dirk Van, NBC News Radio.
Today we're asking people to name their one favorite meal for one from Stouffer's.
One favorite? Stouffer's lasagna. But how about the barbecue chicken?
Grilled white meat chicken coated with a sweet and tangy sauce with a side of cheesy potatoes topped with crisp bacon.
Yes.
So that's your one Stouffer's favorite.
Oh, but I also like Stouffer's meatloaf.
Classic meatloaf with a rich tomato glaze, smothered on a savory gravy with a tasty side of... Hey, where are you going?
You kidding? The store!
Stock up on Stouffer's Meals for One at your convenient Dollar General store.
Does your business thrive by serving other businesses? Would you like a healthy, steady flow of B2B leads that are customized to grow sales? Hoovers has developed a best-in-class lead generation tool that makes it easy for you to find targeted leads for your business. You'll be amazed at how easy it is to get the right leads fast. Try it today for free. Get 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial. Just call 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011.
For decades, the government has been trying to get us to switch from paper $1 bills to dollar coins. It didn't work with the Susan B. Anthony dollar. It didn't work with Sacagawea. It didn't work with the presidents. But the latest proposal to Congress will be simply to stop printing $1 bills. That would do it. The U.S. Mint is preparing a report for Congress detailing what could be $4.4 billion in cost savings over 30 years if the buck goes paperless. Rankings are out for travel websites. A survey by J.D. Power finds which sites score best for customer satisfaction. And topping the list is not the biggest name. The best, according to the survey, is Booking.com. It's run by a site you hear more about, Priceline. Booking gets high marks for overall customer experience as well as price. Second is Hotwire, followed by Priceline itself. Lowest among the 10 sites researched, Yahoo Travel. Stock futures up, S&P futures gaining 3, NASDAQ futures up 9. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Have you tried Snorebreak? Snorebreak is the easy and exciting new way to sleep, and it works the very first night. It's simple. Place one Snorebreak liner under your pillowcase before bed. You won't even know it's there. Each snore break liner is infused with natural essential oils that guarantee a real difference. It's the same soothing technology used in hospitals, available for your home for the first time ever. Snore break is soft and virtually undetectable, and it's guaranteed to work. For a limited time, you can try snore break risk-free before it's in stores. Just call 1-800-475-5227. See a difference from the very first night. Get your risk-free trial of snore break while supplies last. Just call 1-800-475-5227. That's 1-800-475-5227. Call 1-800-475-5227.
Today we're asking people to name their one favorite meal for one from Stouffer's.
One favorite? Stouffer's lasagna. But how about the barbecue chicken?
Grilled white meat chicken coated with a sweet and tangy sauce with a side of cheesy potatoes topped with crisp bacon.
Yes.
So that's your one Stouffer's favorite.
Oh, but I also like Stouffer's meatloaf.
Classic meatloaf with a rich tomato glaze, smothered on a savory gravy with a tasty side of...
Hey, where are you going?
You kidding? The store!
Stock up on Stouffer's Meals for One at your convenient Dollar General store.
An important message from Medicare. It's Medicare open enrollment, now through December 7th. Time to compare plans. Happy with your current one? You can always keep it, but it never hurts to look. And check out the preventive benefits you get after the healthcare law with no co-pays or deductibles, like a yearly wellness visit. Savings, too, like over 50% off brand-name prescriptions in the donut hole. Medicare open enrollment. Now's the time. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
Never let it be said that when good men and women were challenged, that they didn't rise to the challenges that were presented. And that when met with resistance, they knew enough to come together. In solidarity and with purpose and pride, they forged their way to a new understanding of what success would require. They not only met the challenge, they redefined community. And that community was called First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
One of many different kinds of communities. Thank you and welcome back. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Friday, the 30th day of November 2012. Obviously, the last hour is indicative of some realities. I'm telling you right now, we're going to stick in an interesting way with the city of Detroit. The story we're about to get into is well worth your time and you need to hear what's going on. If we continue to think like Mayor Dave Bing, to insult the citizens, to disrespect our workers, to continue to make bad decisions, and there's a lot of that going on. There's an epidemic of it. The correlation I'd like to make is between what's happening with education in the state and what's happening in the city of Detroit. The lawmakers don't want to ask teachers how to fix education, and the city leaders in Detroit don't want to ask its residents how to fix the city. Well, you know what? When you do that, you end up in the trouble you're in now. And then to turn around and insult your citizens and your employees, well, that's just not a recipe for success. Let me turn my attention now to a story that came across my desk a couple days ago. And I'm going to have one of my two guests set it out because it's a little bit complicated. We need to set it up properly so you understand it. But there are some serious issues facing Detroiters. There's no question that's true. And when we take a look at the issues that matter statewide, employment, foreclosures, etc., you can always magnify that times to the nth degree in the city of Detroit, especially as it comes to foreclosures. The mayor said in that CNN piece that we played a little earlier that the people that are living in the city need to start moving closer to the center of the Dave Bing universe. Is that really the answer, to tell people where to live? I don't know that that is. What do you do with all that vacant property? Where's the plan? Well, it's not that simple, of course. Let me turn my attention now. Let me introduce my first two guests, and we'll get into the topic. Joining us now is Bob Day. Bob is the Legal Aid and Defender Association, an attorney and activist. Also joining us from the Paramount Homeowners Association is Dana Hill. Let me welcome you both to First Shift. And Bob, I'd really like to start with you and first of all say good morning and happy holidays to you.
Morning. Happy holidays to you.
Thank you. Bob, let's lay this out. We do need to do a little education here because I want to make sure people know exactly what it is we're talking about. And it's my understanding that you met with the Police and Fire Pension Board yesterday?
That's correct. The homeowners did. The Fairmount homeowners met with the Police and Fire Pension Board yesterday. And the background is that 2008, in the foreclosure crisis, the pension board, Police and Fire Pension Board, loaned $10 million to an outfit called Paramount Land Holdings out of South Carolina to buy up foreclosed properties in Detroit and then resell them to residents. And it was a scam and a ripoff from start to finish. Paramount bought up about 3,000 houses, mainly in Detroit, but around Wayne County, for next to nothing from banks. These were bank-owned homes, foreclosed homes. And then resold them to residents in the city, but Paramount never recorded their interest in the property at the Register of Deeds. Didn't put the legal descriptions in the land contracts, so the homeowners couldn't record their land contracts. And so people bought up these homes. Some of them had already been foreclosed on, so they were anxious to have another opportunity to own a home. Fixed up these homes, paid their down payment, made their monthly payments, only to find out that they were facing tax foreclosure for taxes that were owed from before they ever got involved because Paramount hadn't paid the back taxes. So now all these homeowners are facing tax foreclosure. Some have already been foreclosed. Some have already been evicted. And it's just another example of vultures in the city, from the pension board to Paramount, even to the treasurer, going through and ripping off the people in the community on these foreclosed properties when you've got actual homeowners who have moved in, helped to stabilize neighborhoods, improved these homes, made them livable, made them their homes, and they're the ones who need to be defended and protected in this.
And, Bob, isn't this illegal?
Well, yeah, the contracts are breached, and the contracts, the land contracts, are illegal. Paramount has gone belly up and bankrupt, and so the principals there, one was Abner McWhorter, a local real estate developer. He committed suicide. The other two, Mr. and Mrs. Castanis out of South Carolina, they're arrested on criminal charges and charged in Florida with fraud. They did this not just in Detroit. They did it in Cleveland and other cities, and they were well-known operators for ripping off communities, and the pension board went ahead and loaned them this $10 million and really brought a lot of harm to not just the Paramount homeowners but their neighbors and the community.
You know, Bob, before we get to Dana, I guess I've got to ask, maybe it sounds like a naive question, I just don't know the answer to it, so I'm one of those people that ask the question. Due diligence, if I'm on the Police and Fire Pension Board, don't I have to do some due diligence, do some research, know who I'm dealing with, and then make a proper decision?
I think that's absolutely right, and we're actually asking firefighters and others to get involved in this because their pension board didn't obviously do the due diligence, or if they did, they didn't care. So they loaned it to people who we know to be ripoff artists and who are infamous across the country as ripoff artists. And so they threw that money at these folks, and Paramount's going bankrupt. So now the pension board's saying, oh, well, we're the victims and we want to go after the homeowners and try to get some value out of them. The pension board needs to look at itself and its own operations for why they would loan this money to these rip-off artists and just one more time rip-off people in the city of Detroit.
All right, so the pension board wants to go after the homeowners who legitimately were paying their mortgages, ergo paying their taxes and insurance, and now they're saying that, well, since there's nobody else holding the bag but the homeowners, they're going to penalize them for doing the right thing. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah, that's right. Now we hear the pension board members saying, oh, we got to do due diligence and we want to get money out of these homeowners. Well, where was your due diligence when you loaned $10 million to these rip-off artists from Paramount? It wasn't there. So we need to get a global settlement here where we get the pension board, the court-appointed receiver, Paramount, the Wayne County treasurer, everybody to say these homeowners need to stay in these homes, they need to get title to these homes, and the homeowners are willing to pay taxes for the period they've lived there, but they can't be responsible for, and a lot of these tax bills are $10,000, $15,000 on homes that are only worth $3,000 or $4,000. So it's ridiculous to try to hold these homeowners responsible for all those back taxes that are owed from Paramount.
From Paramount, absolutely. Well, let's say good morning to Dana Hill. And Dana, let me also wish you a happy holidays and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you. Good morning to you, too. Happy holidays.
I appreciate that. Dana, I understand you are a homeowner, correct?
Yes, sir.
And this has affected you?
Yes, it has.
All right. Explain to us, your if you don't mind, your personal story here.
Okay. Well, it all started with me. I found a home through Paramount Land Holdings. And how I got with Mr. Day is that my boiler had went out. So I was trying to get help through Neighborhood City Services as far as, you know, help with home repairs or whatnot. So when I went to them for help, the lady looked at my land contract and she said, go down to the Register of Deeds and record your land contract. So once I went to do that, when I took the paper to the lady, she looked at me as if I brought fraudulent papers in there. So that made me go to the next counter to get the title to see what whose name with the deed that was in for my home. And what I found out is that a company called Bryce Peters purchased my home for $1, and their address was in Las Vegas. But once I looked the address up, it was a storage facility in Las Vegas. So it's like it was so many different names on these homes, I didn't know what to do. So that's what made me contact Mr. Day. And when I went to Mr. Day and doing more research, we found out that the police and pension fund had something to do with loaning these people $10 million. We found out that Bernard Kilpatrick and Kwame Kilpatrick had something to do with this also. We found out that they had a lawsuit in Cleveland, that it was just a whole big mess. We found out something I found out something because I placed an article, I shared a Detroit News article about the foreclosure problem and about Paramount on my Facebook, and George Costanza's son, Alex, commented on my Facebook page and was trying to say that everybody, not to look at them, but to look at the fire and police pension fund because everything that was going on all stemmed from them, all the crookedness and everything else. So I feel like when we went yesterday to talk to them that basically they were looking at us like, oh, well, you signed the contract and you have to uphold the contract that you signed. But if the contract is false, how do you uphold a false contract? When they found out that everything that Paramount said to them was false, they went and sued them. So who do we sue? Who do we sue to get our money back? Or who do we sue to get our interest in these properties? Now they're trying to say that yesterday out of the 14 houses that's on their list of the people who had land contracts, mine included, is that they're going to quiet title the house, try to get the judge to quiet title them the home, and then set up something with us to play the land contracts. And if we don't do that, then we'll be evicted. My thing is, if you already own these homes, how can you quiet title something that you already own?
Wow. All right. And obviously, Bob, this is going to take a little explanation. We've got to take a break here. So I'm going to ask both Bob Day and Dana Hill to stay where they're at. Let's take a quick break. We're going to work all through this, well, as best we can, because this is obviously a situation that's in flux. Obviously, there is a lot of trouble what's going on here, and this is illegal, and it may be one of those situations where everybody may end up eventually agreeing that the wrong thing was done, but there may not be a remedy. This is just dead wrong. Let's take a quick break here. We'll come back and continue with attorney Bob Day and homeowner Dana Hill right after this on First Shift.
Hello, it's Lori Lamarin from Planned Parenthood, wishing all of the listeners a wonderful and blessed holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report brought to you by Xfinity Internet.
Checking your traffic, we just picked up our first accident of the morning. It's blocking your right lane on Harper Avenue southbound just before Morales. And we got some slow traffic on 75 northbound between West Road and Dix-Toledo Highway. And also slow moving on 94 westbound between 8 Mile and Morales. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Xfinity Internet, where all of our lanes are fast lanes. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Sign up today by calling 1-800-XFINITY.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 43 with a chance of showers in the late afternoon. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 52 degrees. And it's currently 39 outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Union.
Solidarity.
Democracy. We make a difference when you give your voice.
What's on your mind?
1-888-552-3595. You're listening to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. Attorney Robert Day is with us. Homeowner Dana Hill. If you're just joining us, I would love to recap, but it would take the rest of the time we have to do this. Bob, let me go back to you very quickly. And I know the homeowners did meet with the pension board yesterday, and they're trying to negotiate a way out of this. Obviously, there are a lot of illegalities here. I mean, Dana laid that out pretty nicely. And certainly, this has certainly been incredibly punitive on the homeowners who have put a lot of work into these homes. You had said with your own words that they've helped to stabilize these neighborhoods. In your opinion, is the pension board willing to work with the homeowners to not only keep them in their homes, but to maybe right some of these wrongs?
Well, that's certainly what they need to do, but no, they haven't shown any willingness to do that. The pension board brought a case against Paramount in Wayne County Circuit Court. Paramount is bankrupt. The pension board asked the court to appoint a receiver regarding all these homes. So now there's a court-appointed receiver. And unbeknownst to the homeowners, the pension board and the receiver through that case were trying to basically take away these homes from the homeowners so they could, resell them or make more money off of them or whatever. So fortunately, some of the homeowners got some notices. We've intervened in that case. We've got another hearing in that case December 17th, and they hadn't even provided notices to homeowners that they were trying to take these homes away from them. You know, these are land contracts, so if nothing else, it would be a land contract forfeiture process. But it's just this ongoing process of ripping off people in the city, and these homeowners have actually fixed up these homes, stabilized their neighborhoods. They're doing the right thing. That's what we want going on in the city, right? We want some of these foreclosed homes to be fixed up and made homes again and have families living there. That's what they're doing. But everybody from the pension board to the receiver to Paramount to the Wayne County treasurer is trying to figure out, well, how do we rip people off again? How do we take more money from them? And nobody's looking out for the interests of the homeowners. And the homeowners, I got to give them credit. We're working probably with 30, 40. We've probably had contact with 50 homeowners in this situation. They're organizing. They're fighting. They're determined to stay in their homes and defend their homes. And that's the good thing that's coming out of this. But, yeah, we need some of these forces to take a look at themselves and decide that they're going to do a little bit for what's necessary in the community as opposed to strictly trying to act like vultures and find ways to, you know, pick the community even cleaner.
You know, it's interesting, Bob. I think of Ray Vojtovich, and there's a pattern of behavior here that's very disturbing. Now, you know, the legislature just passed a bill that would ban him from, he was getting bonuses for collecting back taxes, and they've just passed some legislation that would ban that from happening. But it seems to me that the Vojtovich office has been an opportunist in the most heinous of ways. I mean, this is evil behavior, in my opinion, Bob.
Yeah, and it's really short-sighted, because what they do is they try to find ways to rip off more money from people, take houses from people, make a little bit of money now, when in fact these homeowners are quite willing to be regular residents of the city and pay taxes, right? They're willing to pay taxes they owe for the time they've lived there, but they're not willing to pay all these back taxes owed by Paramount, really the responsibility of the pension board. And that's what the treasurer needs to stand up and say, all right, we're going to clear this title. We're going to put these and the court as well, to say these homes belong to the homeowners. They'll be responsible for the taxes now and going forward, but all these back taxes are wiped out, or we're going to go after Paramount or the pension board or whoever they want to go after on those. But to focus on these homeowners, and they're all refusing to do that, and it's really a short-term view, and it's kind of a vulture view. I mean, that's what it is.
No question. You know, Bob Day, I've got to ask an obvious question before we get back to Dana Hill. And you know, are there or is there any legal precedent that weighs in favor of the pension board or the homeowners in cases like this?
Well, these are new situations, right? And it's all coming out of the foreclosure crisis and the results of the foreclosure crisis. But yeah, I mean, we can reach settlements. I mean, we can reach settlements to quiet title to these homeowners and have the homeowners pay taxes going forward, and then have the treasurer and the pension board and Paramount work out whatever they want on this past due stuff. But the key thing now is to protect the interests of the homeowners. So, yeah, we're looking at that, and we're looking at whether we can, through the tax foreclosure process, do something where the homeowners are the ones who get to purchase these homes and not another round of developers who are going to try to rip off people again. Because I got one homeowner. She's done everything. She even went and paid the taxes, but she's still been foreclosed on because the tax money she paid went to cover old back taxes she didn't even know about, so it still went into tax foreclosure. And then you got a new developer who comes, buys up the house at the tax foreclosure, and says, oh, I want, there's value here now because the homeowner fixed up the house, right? So you get another round of rip-offs there, and that's what people in the community are sick of.
Wow.
They're sick of these, you know, the pension board, the developers, Paramount, the county treasurer, all of them being involved in ripping off people in the community, when we just need stable homeowners who are willing to fix up these houses, live in them, pay their taxes as they go along.
You know, Bob, it's at times like this where you wonder, where the hell is Congress? You know, at a time when they can't seem to agree to even disagree, this is a situation where they could legitimately and quickly help people that are in desperate need of help. Dana Hill, you know, let me ask you, you know, obviously you've probably made some quick friends, and I'm talking, of course, about other homeowners. I would imagine that you're going to refuse to leave your homes if they try to force you out. Am I right?
Yes. Because we have interest in the homes. A lot of these homes that Paramount have is decapitated. It's nothing there. They're been, you know, messed up, pipes are out of there and everything. So for them to come and say, oh, well, we're going to take the homes that you guys already set up and fixed up on is unfair. You need to worry about the other homes that you have that's not fixed up, that the neighborhoods are looking bad. You need to fix those up or do something with those and sell those houses instead of trying to take the homes that people have fixed up and everything to make their property value go up.
Wow. You know, Bob Day, a couple quick things because we're quickly running out of time. The first thing that, of course, occurs to me is that these people are being punished for being upstanding citizens. Number one, they've been paying their mortgage. They've been paying their taxes. It just didn't make it to the treasurer's office. What can my audience do? Is there anything my audience can do to support the Paramount homeowners?
Yeah, thanks for asking. I mean, one is they can call the Police and Fire Pension Board, their representatives, and pressure them to do the right thing in this. They can come out to Wayne County Circuit Court on December 17th at 9 o'clock. Judge Gillis, Paramount Homeowners, will be there. We'll be there in court. They can support them there. And we'll have other actions planned, too. And if there are any other Paramount homeowners out there who aren't involved yet or don't know what to do, they can call our office at Legal Aid, 967-5642. And that's 313 area code.
967-5642?
Correct.
313. Do you have the number for the punching board by chance?
I don't have that right now. I apologize. I'll get that to you.
That's we'll find it and do that. Bob and Dana, best of luck. Keep us informed. That we don't have to end this story with this interview. We can continue on with you. So just count us in to help you out, all right?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right,
thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. Dana Hill and Bob Day, we've got to get to the break. Mike Thompson from the Detroit Free Press when we continue. Stay with us.
Being sung by a choir. 1310 WDTW, Continuous Traffic Watch.
This traffic report brought to you by Xfinity Internet.
Let's check out the Southfield Freeway southbound after Joy Road, where an accident is blocking your right shoulder. And make sure you watch out for some debris that's in your right lane. 75 northbound after West Road, accident is behind the barrels in the construction zone, and that's causing heavy stop-and-go traffic from Gibraltar. Still watching that accident on Harper Avenue southbound just before Maross. That's blocking your right lane. And traffic is moving slow on 94 westbound between Maross and Harper, and also on 94 westbound between Little Mac and 12 Mile. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Xfinity Internet, where all of our lanes are fast lanes. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Sign up today by calling 1-800-XFINITY.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 43 with a chance of showers in the late afternoon. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 52 degrees. And it's currently 39 outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
You're listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. Workers at Nissan's Mississippi plant are trying to unionize with the UAW. Management is running an aggressive anti-union campaign, and the workers say that denies them a fair and democratic union election. At the International Labor Start Conference this week, the Nissan workers launched a global effort to get Nissan to stop its anti-union campaign. The Global Union Industrial says Nissan's anti-union campaign is fomenting anti-UAW propaganda, intimidating workers, and depriving them of a free choice. The union called it an unacceptable violation of the right to free association. Actor Danny Glover says the Nissan workers deserve an unhindered choice on joining the UAW.
Of all the struggles of workers around the world for a fair share of the wealth they produce, the Nissan workers of Mississippi stand out to me. From a place that was one of the most important battlegrounds of the civil rights movement to now be the center for global workers' rights movement is significant. I am committed to the campaign to win the right to organize for Nissan workers. What I'd like to ask all of you to do to show your support for the campaign is to stand with me and call on Nissan USA to do better.
First Walmart and now McDonald's are low-wage retail workers rising up. Jesse Russell reports.
Less than a week after Walmart saw pickets by striking workers across the country on Black Friday,
New York City saw walkouts at a number of fast food restaurants. On Thursday, employees from KFC, Taco Bell, Wendy's, Burger King, and McDonald's protested the low wages they were earning in the city. Some earn as little as $7.25 per hour. One of the demands of the workers is that pay be raised to as much as $15 per hour to better reflect the cost of living in the city. The workers that walked out on Thursday are also part of a growing movement in New York to organize a fast food service worker union.
An Institute for Policy Studies report says that CEOs who make up the corporate Fix the Debt campaign are pushing for cuts in the retirement programs of working families while they sit on massive retirement funds of their own. According to the report, these CEOs are also shortchanging pension funds for working families at their own companies. The corporate Fix the Debt campaign advocates a fiscal deal that reduces earned benefit programs like Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. At the same time, they're advocating for massive corporate tax cuts. Hostess executives are hoping the U.S. bankruptcy court will allow the company to pay out more bonuses amounting to roughly $1.8 million. The company alleges it needs the money so the executives will stick it out through the liquidation process. Yesterday, the company also told the bankruptcy court that it wouldn't be able to continue paying retiree benefits of roughly $1.1 million per month.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Well, we got plenty of problems to solve and a lot to talk about this morning. And I got to tell you, as I continue to, and I do a lot of reading, because number one, by virtue of what I do, I need to understand what's going on. Sometimes it's really hard to understand what's going on, but there are times where some of the things you learn in kindergarten just kind of make sense all the time. The difference between right and wrong. We did our first word this morning. It was debate. And what we're going to talk about right now fits kind of neatly into that topic. Corporate CEOs put together a $60 million campaign to win an argument that shouldn't even be discussed. Can we really continue to reward those who make billions of dollars that are hoarding trillions of dollars in the economy, holding money hostage, while the middle class suffers, while our 80, 90-year-old grandmothers and grandfathers and aunts and uncles and moms and dads suffer? We continue to be told that we can balance our budgets by taking away what they call entitlements, which we decided this morning should be labeled earned benefits. And they are earned benefits. Joining me now is one of my favorite people. Mike Thompson from the Detroit Free Press is the editorial cartoonist and blogger. And we're here to talk about that and a whole lot more. Mike, happy holidays to you. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, happy holidays to you, Tony, and to all your listeners, too.
What an interesting commentary. You did a great cartoon, editorial cartoon recently in the Freep, and it says top CEOs have launched a campaign to combat what they see as excessive spending on the social safety net. And we've got it. If we don't have it posted to Facebook, we will, because I'm not going to be able to give it justice. But the cartoon, the balloon in the cartoon is, I'm launching a campaign to combat excessive spending on first aid and fire extinguishers. Sweet God, Mike, where's the disconnect here?
You know, the cartoon itself was about this, the campaign to fix the debt. And I think this is an outfit that your readers are really going to want to pay attention to as the debate over the so-called fiscal cliff turns forward. It was started this past summer by Alan Simpson, the Republican senator from Wyoming, and Erskine Bowles, the Democrat from North Carolina. And I think you remember them from the Erskine Bowles Presidential Commission to Fix the Debt that blew up and went nowhere. And it started out without a lot of fanfare, but since it's enlisted the support of some pretty major hitters in the business world. And If you go to the Fix the Debt website, the CEO Fiscal Leadership Council includes names like, you know, Richard Anderson, the CEO of Delta Airlines, Steve Ballmer, CEO of Microsoft, you know, Lloyd Blankenfein, CEO of Goldman Sachs, you know, Jamie Dimon, CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase and something. CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase. And I've read that they have about, this Fix the Debt organization has about 80 CEOs backing their agenda. So you might ask, why are all these CEOs climbing on board? And the Institute for Policy Studies, they released a report that summed up Fix the Debt as a quote, business-driven initiative using the so-called fiscal cliff as cover for tax changes that would damage our economy. They called it, a Trojan horse for massive corporate tax breaks.
Because we need that. God knows that solves the problem. We had a conversation yesterday, and it spilled over onto our Facebook page throughout the day yesterday and then onto the show today. This idea that there are entitlements that need to be cut. You heard me say in the introduction before I brought you on that, one of my listeners says we need to start framing that a little differently. These are earned benefits. And they are, Mike, earned benefits. This idea that we'll somehow balance the budget by slashing Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, all the while leaving the most needy people in our country behind, and the disrespect that shows to generations of Americans that fought and literally died for the freedom that we currently enjoy, that somehow we need to penalize the middle class and those living in poverty, to continue to penalize them for just trying to live a decent and satisfied life. Mike, where have we gone wrong?
That's a tough question. You know, and here's the maddening thing about Fix the Debt. The cuts in Social Security that they are proposing aren't about balancing the budget. CNN Money looked at their proposal, and they broke it down into three areas. They said, you know, one, the first thing that Fix the Debt crowd is calling for is that they want the repatriation of foreign profits. They want to be able to take the profits that they've earned overseas and bring them back here into this country. And the second point they brought up was that they want to extend the Bush tax cut. And the third point they brought up was how they propose to pay for all of this. Do you care to hazard a guess as to how they propose to pay for all of this?
I want to guess somehow taxing the middle class.
No, cutting Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare.
All right, but here...
So this isn't even about balancing the budget. This is about finding a way to cover the cost of yet another round of massive tax cuts for those at the top.
At what level, before we get to the phones, at what level do people not understand that Social Security doesn't affect our debt?
Yeah, it's funded by the payroll tax. And, you know, when you have $60 million in the bank and can, say anything you want, you can confuse a lot of people.
And they've done a very, very good job of that. All right, we're going to go to the phone. Folks, if you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. My guest again, Mike Thompson, editorial cartoonist and blogger for the Detroit Free Press. You can, of course, find everything he does at freep.com. Stephen Monroe joins us now. Happy holidays to you, my friend. What's on your mind?
Merry Christmas to you, Tony, and hi to Mike.
Hello.
I got to admit, Tony, I'm kind of frustrated. Again, going back to these quote-unquote entitlement programs, you're entitled to the money that you paid into these programs. No question there. The bigger question is, are you entitled to more than you paid in? Or you can even stretch it, are you entitled to less? You know, and the fact is that most people that are getting Social Security or getting Medicare payments are getting more out than they paid into the system. When you have something like that, that is an entitlement, Tony, and that's just how it is.
No, no, that's not just how it is, Steve. I'm still going to go back to earned benefits. Thanks for the call, Steve. You know, Mike, I'm going to let you comment on that, but it seems to me that if I'm paying into something I don't control the cost of, and that cost continues to increase, well, that's not my fault, and I should not be penalized because whoever the powers that be can't seem to rein that cost in. Is that really the obligation of the consumer to have to then at some point say, well, listen, you legitimately, you know, we take a look at what you did. You really only paid 63% into what you're going to get out of it, so we're only going to pay 63%. That wasn't the promise that was made, Mike Thompson.
Yeah, you're right. It's sort of like having homeowner's insurance, right? I mean, if your home burns down, it's going to cost several hundred thousand dollars to replace, perhaps. Now, you haven't paid several hundred thousand dollars in insurance over the time you've had your home. But, you know, there's a very easy fix for the Social Security problem, and that is to raise the cap from $106,000. Right now, everyone in America pays Social Security tax, the payroll tax, on their first $106,000. After that, any income is not taxed on that through the Social Security tax. So, I mean, if we want to solve Social Security, we raise that limit to, I don't know, $250,000, and the problem's solved.
And it really is solved. Mike, how many years have we been having that argument? Listen, we're going to put this squarely on both political parties. This isn't a Republican problem or a Democrat problem. This is a political problem. They ignore it.
Yeah, I sense your frustration, and, you know, I completely agree.
I understand, and let me just read your words. This is from the blog at the Free Press. It says, balancing the budget is going to require a combination of spending cuts and tax increases. It's going to be painful, and nobody's going to emerge happy. But we should begin the process by requiring sacrifice from those with means who are in a financial position to make a sacrifice. That is pure common sense, and maybe that's the problem, Mike Thompson. Maybe you're just being too logical.
Well, I doubt that, but it really is maddening when you talk about the people who are most able to make the sacrifice. And the topic of the blog post was fix the debt, and these guys aren't talking about sacrifice. They're talking about getting even more. They want to extend the Bush tax cuts. They want to be able to repatriate profits that they've earned overseas and bring them back into the country tax free. And so the organization, it talks about debt reduction, but it sounds more like a way for CEOs to just use their wealth and influence to their advantage.
Sounds like an entitlement, doesn't it, Mike Thompson?
Yeah, my, amazing. It certainly does,
yeah,
doesn't it?
Mike, stay with us. We've got to take a quick break. Stay with us. We'll come back and continue our conversation. Mike Thompson, the editorial cartoonist, award-winning editorial cartoonist and blogger with the Detroit Free Press, is my guest. 888-552-3595. We'll be back. Stay with us.
December 24th on Hollis Avenue, the dark. When I seen a man chilling with his dog at the park, I approached him very slowly with my heart full of fear. Looked at his dog, oh my God, a ill reindeer.
This is Anthony from First Shift wishing our audience a happy and safe holiday.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again,
Visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Trubiano.
Let me turn my attention now to Special Assistant to President Al Garrett at AFSCME Council 25, Ned McNeil.
We specifically signed this agreement on February the 1st of this year, and we ratified this agreement in March. They could have put this agreement in place that the union said did, which would have annually saved the city $180.2 million. You wouldn't be in this game that they're playing. That they're just playing this game with people's lives and with the citizens of the city of Detroit.
On 1310 WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
10 minutes before the top of the hour, I am Tony Trupiano. Mike Thompson with me. He is the award-winning editorial cartoonist and blogger for the Detroit Free Press. We're talking about an initiative funded to the tune of $60 million from CEOs who are looking for a $134 billion tax break. I'm going to tell you, if we were to kind of frame this as a family, mama and daddy didn't raise you to be this way. This would be evil behavior, and you'd all get grounded if you acted this way in your own homes. Yet here they are. And Mike, as you pointed out in the blog post, these are people that are saying that fixing Social Security somehow solves our debt problem, which we've already determined it doesn't do. They're the same CEOs that have fattened their own pensions and underfunded their own retirement accounts for their employees. I mean, the hypocrisy here is overwhelmingly offensive.
Yeah, it's not just that. I mean, these are the same CEOs whose companies benefit mightily from defense contracts and, you know, a whole list of other government programs, and they're not talking about cutting any of that. The real focus of Fix the Debt is to go after the so-called entitlements, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, as a way not to fix the debt, but to basically offset the cost of another corporate tax break.
You know, it seems to me that we continue to have the wrong conversation. Mike, last week on the program, we did a segment with the Michigan League for Public Policy on some nonpartisan numbers that showed that the wealthy are certainly getting wealthier. The poor are getting poorer, and the middle class is legitimately shrinking. These are not made-up numbers. These are not my liberal mind playing tricks on me. This is the reality of what's happening in this country. I do agree we have some serious issues that we need to resolve. I also agree that it's going to take sacrifice from everybody. But let's talk about, the 98%, 95% of the country that has continued to sacrifice. And what do they get for it? They get penalized. They get criticized. Look what Mayor Bing did yesterday on CNN, Mike Thompson. He talks about, employees of the city that have an entitlement mentality, and that the only way to solve the problems is to, force people to move closer to the center of his universe. the disconnect here again, and continues to be offensive, but we can't solve problems if we can't have a real discussion about everyone paying whatever that fair share is. And, you know, some of these CEOs with fixed the debt have said that they would be willing to pay more, but I don't think we're ever going to agree on a definition of fair share.
Yeah, you know, and I think what makes the, you know, just when you take a step back and look at deficit reduction, what makes it so maddening is we just had an election, all right? The American people spoke, and they elected President Obama, and President Obama was not vague about what he wanted to do. He was very clear about the fact that he wanted to end the tax cuts for the top 1%, and yet here we are less than 1 month later, you know, with the masters of the universe. They actually had a meeting this week with Obama in the White House, and they met with congressional leaders as well. And here they are trying to, you know, relitigate, if you will, the results of the election and what the American people said they wanted when they reelected President Obama.
Yeah, again, I'm going to continue to use the word disconnect because there is a disconnect. I'm continually watching what both sides are saying. The Republicans continue, Mike Thompson, to insist that they have some kind of, I don't know, psychic intuition about what the American people have really said as opposed to what they really did say. I suggested, and I know you get your fair share of hate mail, Mike. I know you do, because you're being honest, and people don't like honesty. I said on the show day before yesterday that as borrowing is at a historic low, that we should finish what we started in Obama's first term. Let's go out and let's start rebuilding our communities. Let's do our infrastructure. Let's build our energy grid. You know, let's go out and borrow the money and do that now. Let's take a little that would be painful, but it would pay off. It's an investment. It would put people back to work. It would be a revenue creator for the government. I'm telling you, almost death threats from saying that.
Yeah, you know, normally in a capitalist society, and, you know, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool capitalist, but you would expect the business community to be creating jobs and growing the economy. I mean, after all, they've gotten tax cuts for 30 years now. They're sitting on a pile of cash, $2 trillion, but they're not spending. They're not you know, creating jobs. And if they're not going to create jobs, and if, you know, these tax cuts aren't going to pay off as promised, well, what do we do to grow the economy? You know, it's sort of similar to the same criticism of Obama's stimulus plan. I mean, if Obama hadn't stepped in, we were losing 800,000 jobs a month. I mean, you know, think about the consequences.
You know, it's interesting. Senator Debbie Stabenow that puts before the Senate not that long ago, 3, 4, maybe 5 months ago, a package, a bill that said that if we allow corporations to repatriate their profits, their foreign profits, for a tax break. Now, it wouldn't be a free tax break, but it would be a tax break that we would allow them to do that, but in return for that, they would have to create jobs. Republicans turned that down. They turned it down. They flat refused. They filibustered it is what they did. So anytime we have an idea that maybe makes a little bit of sense, it's got to be attached with this ideology that you just said it perfectly, Mike Thompson. We just had an election, and the electorate spoke and said, you know what, we don't want to play the game the way you folks play it anymore. You're right. President Obama didn't hide what he was looking to do. He was actually quite progressive in this campaign, and America voted for progressive change. I'm tired, Mike. I need to see change.
Yeah, I think you're not alone. But, you know, I think there was a glimmer of hope after the election that, okay, the message has been sent to, you know, the obstructionists in the Republican Party that the American people are pretty tired of it. And, you know, we're not weeks out from the results of that election, and it's already starting back again.
Yeah, well, it is already starting back again because God knows 3 weeks is just too much time, you know, before we have to. Well, we're not going to solve all these problems today. I do appreciate you pointing this out. I'm glad I'm not getting your email because mine's intense enough, but I'm sure you're getting some doozies. In the meantime, Mike, we'll have you back on soon. Everything's posted up on the Facebook page. Go check it out. Mike, if we don't talk to you before the holidays, have a Merry Christmas, and I appreciate your time this morning.
Hey, sure, of course, Tony, and Merry Christmas to you and to all your listeners, too. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Mike Thompson, award-winning editorial cartoonist and blogger for the Detroit Free Press. Quick break here. The Reverend D. Alexander Bullock, when we continue here on First Shift. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Let's check out the Southfield Freeway southbound after Joy Road, where an accident is blocking your right shoulder, and make sure you watch out for some debris that's in your right lane. 75 northbound after West Road, accident is behind the barrels in the construction zone, and that's causing heavy stop-and-go traffic from Gibraltar. Still watching an accident on Harper Avenue southbound just before Maross, that's blocking your right lane. And traffic is moving slow on 94 westbound between Maross and Harper, and also on 94 westbound between Little Mac and 12 Mile. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 43 with a chance of showers in the late afternoon. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 52 degrees. And it's currently 39 outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this top of the hour NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikulczewski. President Obama campaigning for high-end tax hikes as he pressures House Republicans for a resolution on the fiscal cliff. NBC's Kristen Welker.
According to sources at the White House and on the Hill, Treasury Secretary Geithner offered up a plan that includes $1.6 trillion in new taxes and $400 billion in spending cuts.
But with a budget deadline looming, Speaker John Boehner says no progress has been made. Welcome news for market watchers. German lawmakers overwhelmingly approving the Eurozone's bailout of Greece. Stock futures pointing higher. The Pacific Northwest in for another soaker today. NBC's Al Roker.
Rainfall just continues to push in. We're talking anywhere from 8 to 10 inches of rain over the next 72 hours.
And whatever happened to Dick and Jane? The baby centers out with its top 100 names, and Aiden is top for boys, followed by Jackson, Ethan, Liam, and Mason. For girls, it's Sophia, Emma, Olivia, Isabella, and Ava. This is NBC News Radio. UN Ambassador Susan Rice is calling yesterday's vote elevating the status of the Palestinian Authority unfortunate and counterproductive. NBC's Andrea Mitchell.
The General Assembly voted overwhelmingly to recognize the Palestinians, but only as a non-voting unofficial observer state. It's one step short of real nationhood and a potential flashpoint for the entire Middle East.
The Supreme Court decides today whether to take up the issue of same-sex marriage. 9 states and D.C. have legalized gay marriage. 31 states ban it. The Powerball suspense is building. Missouri lottery officials will announce the name of the winning ticket holder there today. He or she will split the $587 million jackpot with a winning ticket holder in Arizona. And another reason to take off the pounds, guys. New studies link big bellies to a wide range of ailments, from weaker bones to heart disease. Researchers say belly fat may help trigger inflammation, contributing to all sorts of health problems. So, medically speaking, that big belly's really a flop. I'm Jim Mikulczewski, NBC News Radio.
How would you like to try a sales-generating tool for your business that is so good at locating qualified leads it's been called best of the breed? If your business thrives on selling to other businesses, then get ready for a toll-free number and a free trial offer that could literally revolutionize your sales. Hoovers, a D&B company, has developed a powerful tool to connect you to qualified buyers for your product or service that is fast and easy. No more wasting time getting leads manually. No more pre-configured lists of names. claims that don't fit your business, Hoover's advanced targeting technology helps you reach the market that will be most receptive to your product or service. For a limited time, Hoover's would like to offer their radio listeners 50 free leads and a 24-hour trial.
Just call 800-239-0011. That's a free trial and 50 free leads. Call now. 800-239-0011. 800-239-0011. Again, 800-239-0011.
Bazooka Bubblegum, which has seen its sales tumble to half the levels of just 5 years ago, tells the New York Times it wants to make itself more relevant to kids of today. So it's redesigning the brand, packaging going from red, white, and blue to fuchsia and yellow. And more troubling to many, those teeny comics inside featuring Bazooka Joe since 1953, gone at the first of next year. The wind-down clock has begun on Hostess following final approval of all liquidation requests, including $1.8 million in bonuses for execs. It's expected to take about a year to fully wrap up the company's assets and liabilities, but the products appear to have a very good chance of surviving. An advisor to Hostess says 110 parties have expressed interest in Twinkies, Wonder, and other brands of the soon-to-be former Hostess. Early losses turning to late gains for Asian and European markets. Right now, S&P futures are gaining 1 point. NASDAQ futures up 6. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Have you tried SnoreBreak? SnoreBreak is the easy and exciting new way to sleep, and it works the very first night. It's simple. Place one SnoreBreak liner under your pillowcase before bed. You won't even know it's there. Each SnoreBreak liner is infused with natural essential oils that guarantee a real difference. It's the same soothing technology used in hospitals, available for your home for the first time ever. SnoreBreak is soft and virtually undetectable, and it's guaranteed to work. For a limited time, you can try SnoreBreak risk-free before it's in stores. Just call 1-800-475-5227. See a difference from the very first night. Get your risk-free trial of SnoreBreak while supplies last. Just call 1-800-475-5227. That's 1-800-475-5227. Call 1-800-475-5227.
Today we're asking people to name their one favorite meal for one from Stouffer's.
One favorite? Stouffer's lasagna. But how about the barbecue chicken?
Grilled white meat chicken coated with a sweet and tangy sauce with a side of cheesy potatoes topped with crisp bacon.
Yes.
So that's your one Stouffer's favorite.
Oh, but I also like Stouffer's meatloaf.
Classic meatloaf with a rich tomato glaze, smothered on a savory gravy with a tasty side of... Hey, where are you going?
You kidding? The store!
Stock up on Stouffer's Meals for One at your convenient Dollar General store.
An important message from Medicare. It's Medicare open enrollment now through December 7th. Time to compare plans. Happy with your current one? You can always keep it, but it never hurts to look. And check out the preventive benefits you get after the healthcare log with no co-pays or deductibles, like a yearly wellness visit. Savings, too, like over 50% off brand-name prescriptions in the donut hole. Medicare open enrollment. Now's the time. Visit Medicare.gov or call 1-800-MEDICARE.
We're in strange times. Politicians would rather fight against each other instead of for the country. People worry about Wall Street daily. But what about Main Street? Who was on our side? What do we have going for us? We've got First Shift with Tony Trupiano
on 1310
WDTW.
And welcome back. It is Friday, the 30th day of November 2012, and as we inch ever closer to December, we've got lots going on. I'm very excited because we begin a new strategic and spiritual partnership this morning. As I've been now talking for a couple weeks, the Reverend D. Alexander Bullock will be joining us as a regular contributor to First Shift. And that begins literally in less than a minute, but I'm very, very excited. I will preface our first visit this morning and what will be the first of many by saying last night the Reverend Bullock and my good friend and yours, Chris Mihalakis, hosted a community leader event at AFSCME Council 25 last evening, which will be the topic of our first segment today that was both inspiring and empowering. So without further ado, let me welcome to First Shift the Reverend D. Alexander Bullock. He is, of course, the president of Rainbow Push Detroit and the Highland Park NAACP. And Reverend Bullock, I just am blessed to have you here, and thank you so much for agreeing to join us on a weekly basis.
Tony Trippiano, good morning. Thank you for having me on a weekly basis. It's such a great honor to be a part of your powerful radio show. You do so much to inspire and inform and educate us. I appreciate being with you this morning.
Well, I've got to tell you, it was really, for me, it was so warm, and I'm going to just use the word warm, to be in the audience last night to listen to you inspire, to empower, to engage. But what I found, it's not, I don't often get to see it in person. So what I noticed is that you were, as great a talker as you were an amazing listener last night. You really listened to what that empowered group of people was saying. And it was a special evening.
It was special, and I think in order to be someone who speaks for those who typically don't have a chance to speak on their own behalf, to give voice to the concerns of the voiceless, you have to be a good speaker, but you also have to be a great listener. I'm just so excited about the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO under the leadership of Chris Mialakis and all of the labor allies and community activists, Helen Moore, Valerie Glenn, and Free Detroit No Consent. I mean, just all of the activists who've been fighting this fight in Detroit and then the state of Michigan for many, many months. And it was exciting to be in that room with over 100 people trying to figure out how we continue to protect democracy, protect the working class, and fight for the future of Detroit, Michigan, and indeed the nation. It was just an honor to be a part of that meeting.
Well, let's talk a little bit, Reverend Bullock, about what the topics were of the meeting last night. We're going to talk. We're going to start with the Educational Achievement Authority, and you spoke eloquently about that. I actually learned something from you last night. As much a conversation as we've had about the EAA, I did not realize that under the Public Act 4 and its elimination on November 6th, that the EAA is now operating illegally. I did not know that until last night.
You know what? It's amazing that the victory that we won on November the 6th, where we really came alive and we defeated emergency management in Michigan, really took the legal grounds away from a number of things. The consent agreement hangs in the balance. Its legal status is questionable. A number of the contracts that were signed, sealed, and delivered by emergency managers now hang in the balance. They're questionable, but without question, we know that the EAA, the Educational Achievement Authority, which was authorized under the powers given to the emergency manager by Public Act 4, since Public Act 4 has been repealed, the EAA basically is operating illegally. There is no legal basis for the Educational Achievement Authority. There is no power. There are no powers legally given to anyone for its establishment. And so that's why this bill that's in the Education Committee that potentially will come out during this lame duck session is so important for the Republican agenda, because, as it were, the EAA is operating. There are 15 schools that have been taken from the Detroit public school system and given to the EAA. There are 15 schools, their buildings, their assets, their resources, and their students that are in an Educational Achievement Authority that legally should not be operating and that does not exist. And so this is a travesty of justice. This is a travesty of the law. This is hypocrisy at its best, because legislators are supposed to protect the law, protect the Constitution, protect our rights. And so we're fighting again to make sure that the process benefits the people and is not used to dupe or destroy democracy and the people.
Well, part of that hypocrisy should also be, and one of the charges of learned people is to protect and educate our children, and that's not happening.
Oh, not at all. In fact, I like to draw an analogy between the EAA and the Tuskegee experiment. Many people are familiar with African-American history know that the federal government experimented on African-American males in Tuskegee by injecting them with an STD and studying them to see what would happen. And in many ways, the EAA is an educational experiment. I mean, here you have a criteria that's never been tested. You have an educational program that has no scientific basis to speak of, no track record, no history, being implemented on the most vulnerable students in the city of Detroit and potentially the state of Michigan. And so basically, poor minority children become guinea pigs for people who have ideas about education. And this is a shame.
Yeah, well, it is a shame. Just for the sake of time, because we've got something incredibly important to talk about in our second segment, let's move on to a topic that has really kind of taken over the show this week, and that is right to work for less. And I think that you said it better last night, right not to work.
That's right. This right not to work legislation, this so-called right to work legislation, is also, again, a dangerous piece of public policy that potentially could be passed during this lame duck session. So we remain vigilant and watchful. We'll be gearing up to go to Lansing on next Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We'll be taking a faith-based delegation. I want to thank Pastor Tellis Chapman and Ed Rowe. I also want to thank Ken Harris, who'll be taking business folks with us as well, because this legislation basically, as you know, Tony, is legislation put in place to destroy unions. And when you destroy unions, you destroy the power of collective bargaining. You destroy workers' ability to bargain collectively to benefit of themselves and have good, decent-paying jobs. But you also destroy the ability for the progressive movement to be organized. I mean, without the unions and the progressive coalition between unions and churches and activists, Barack Obama would not have been elected. So we know this is a conservative Republican agenda to destroy the rainbow, the big tent coalition that is pushing us toward the progressive future that we seek in America.
Reverend Bullock, do you believe that this the right to work is also it also calls into question values and morals?
Oh, I do. I think any time someone would use their legislative power to try to deny people the right to work together to better their situation, to work together to hold corporations accountable, to work together to make sure that budgets, because they are moral documents, prioritize people over profits. Now we have a moral dimension that we're talking about, and we have to stop, Tony, separating our faith from our feet and our religion from our reality and our values from our politics. I'm so happy to be a part of your show because it is important for us to begin to become the champions for human dignity, for human respect, and for equality, which are all moral elements of many of our faith traditions, and we have to champion those in the workplace, in the home, in the school, and in society at large.
Well, you know, and whether we like it or not, and I'll leave that judgment for others, whether we like it or not, we do need to be able, you said equality, you know, we should talk about economic equality. You know, listen, I'm not suggesting that we should all make the same amount of money. I'm not suggesting that people shouldn't be wildly successful. I'm not even suggesting that we shouldn't have wealth in this country. But what I am suggesting is that we stop acting selfish. And this is something, you know, there's a little theme building for the show today. I keep on going back to kindergarten, the things you're taught as a child. It seems that the older we get, the more convenient it is to ignore those basic functions of child rearing and what we empower our children to do. It seems like once we become adults, we find a way to justify not empowering ourselves to follow those same rules.
That's right. We must fight for equality of opportunity. You know, capitalism shouldn't be like monopoly. Monopoly is a zero-sum game. When you gain all of the properties on Monopoly, you are rich, but everybody else is poor. And I believe that our country is becoming a lot like Monopoly, namely the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. You have the have too much and the have too little. And so we must fight to level the playing field. Everyone should have their fair share. And that is not a violation of the principle of human achievement, but it is the affirmation of the principle of human equality.
Yeah, beautifully said. We need to take a very quick break here. When we come back, a story that I want to share with you that is scaringly familiar to one that you already know, and ironically, the parents of Trayvon Martin are in Detroit this weekend to be honored for the Trayvon Martin Foundation. But oh, how we end up here. And with this next story, not only reeks of racism, but makes one wonder, what are we thinking? What am I talking about? You'll find out right after the break. The Reverend D. Alexander Bullock, my guest. This is his first of what will be many Friday morning visits. Stay with us.
Hey, it's Joe, and I'm just hoping that all the listeners at First Shift have a great holiday season and carry it on to a happy new year.
On 1310
WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your rush hour traffic, 696 westbound after Mound Road, accident has your left shoulder blocked. Left shoulder is also blocked on 696 westbound just before DeQuinder. Another accident has your left shoulder blocked on Telegraph Road, northbound just after 696. They've cleared the accident on 75 northbound after West Road, but traffic is still slow from Gibraltar. And we got some heavy stop-and-go traffic on 94 westbound between Michigan Avenue and U.S. 23. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 43 with a chance of showers in the late afternoon. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 52 degrees. And it's currently 39 outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Is America truly the land of the free, when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized. You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. It is 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. My guest again, the Reverend D. Alexander Bullock. Well, let me just give you a quick synopsis. One Jordan Davis, 17 years old, described by friends, family, and Neighbors as a great kid. A very bright, bright future. He, along with a few of his friends, were sitting in the parking lot of a convenience store playing their music loudly when Michael Dunn, 45, a white man. Oh, by the way, Jordan Davis is a black youth. Michael Dunn, a 45-year-old white man, is bothered by the music. Now listen, how many of us have pulled up next to a car that's boom, boom, boom? All right, yes, it's a little irritating, but that's all it is. Well, Michael Dunn decides that he's going to confront these youths, and he feels, quote-unquote, threatened. Why? Because of the color of their skin. No other reason. Now, he claims that he saw a shotgun come through the window. By the way, no gun in the youth's car when it was searched. No, the car didn't go anywhere. No, they couldn't have dumped the gun somewhere. And he kills this young man, Jordan Davis. Reverend Bullock, as we know, Florida has, as Michigan does, this Stand Your Ground law. We've got a problem here.
Indeed, Tony. First of all, I want to express my deep, sincere condolences to the Davis family who have lost a son. Also want to be in prayer for the Dunn family. No one wins in a case like this. It's very, very tragic. And again, we pray for both families. But let me say, on the heels of Trayvon Martin and now Jordan Davis, who was shot and killed because he was listening to loud music with his friends, we must confront the reality that we do have a gun violence problem in the United States of America. And we also must confront the reality of public policy like the Stand Your Ground legislation, which potentially allows for certain violent acts to be defended as self-defense. And so I think now is a very, very critical time for Michigan, Florida, and other states across the nation to consider the ramifications of our attitude towards firearms.
Well, you know, I'm sensitive to a lot of issues, but one of the things that I'm not sensitive to are stereotypes. And I'm not in Michael Dunn's head, Reverend Bullock, so I don't know exactly what he's thinking, but I'm thinking that he is intimidated by a car full of black youth, and I don't know any other way to put that, especially as he kind of explained his own story. I also should mention that Michael Dunn, 45, after he shoots this young man, takes off. He's got his girlfriend in the car with, takes off and goes home. I mean, they go back to their hotel, then they go back to his home as if nothing happened because he justified in his mind that he felt threatened.
No, Tony. I hate to use the race card. I hate to talk about stereotypes and generalizations. I mean, but this case seems at this point to be very, very clear. I mean, as you said, African American youth sitting in a car listening to loud music, Caucasian American man, feels threatened, and goes to the car. Now, what's interesting to me is it goes to the car and asks them to turn the music down. Okay, they don't turn it down. Why doesn't he walk away? Why doesn't he get in his car and move to another parking spot? Why doesn't he drive to the front of the store and wait for his girlfriend? I mean, what possesses him to feel threatened? I would say disrespected. Maybe because African American males are not listening to him as a Caucasian American male. And then to pull out a gun and to just shoot into the car, not shooting at anyone in particular, but just to shoot into the car. And then, as you say, to just drive off. I mean, not even to stay on the scene and wait for the police, not to stay on the scene and see if anyone has been hit, but just to drive off as if he's shooting at dogs, as if he's shooting at entities that are not human beings. I mean, this reeks, I think, of the stereotypes and generalizations that we have for African American males in America. It conjures up images of Emmett Till and racism in this country. And we must really, really begin to address the kind of racist subculture that we saw even during the presidential debates and how African American males are still portrayed as dangerous and as beings that are almost subhuman in a way that the only response to African Americans that you can have if they're male is to jail them or shoot them. This has got to stop.
Well, and two more facts, and these are facts, and not that we need any more than we have, but I think that we need to give the full picture here, Reverend Bullock. Not only did he go back to his car, grab a gun, and shoot at them, Jordan Davis happened to be in the back seat of the car, number one, and he shot eight times. I don't understand
that.
That's a bit excessive.
No, I mean, not only is it excessive, Tony, I mean, I think you captured it at the beginning of this segment. I mean, how many times have you, I mean, definitely I've had this experience where I've pulled up into a car. I mean, the music was loud, and, you know, it maybe was frustrating or annoying, but to shoot into a car or feel threatened because the music is loud and African-American males are in it. I mean, I think already there we've gone wrong. I mean, at what point we decide to walk away? At what point do we decide to ask people to turn music down if they don't, to leave the scene? What makes it okay that to shoot into a car because you feel threatened? And so I think this country, we're on the cusp of a major crisis as it relates to the rising tide of violence. I think public policy, we must consider the status of the Stand Your Ground legislation that basically authorized vigilantism. And then more than that, we have to confront the realities of these racist stereotypes that allow people to be dehumanized and characterized as less than human so that this kind of response becomes normalized and legitimized in our country. We've got to address this now. Before it gets out of hand.
Well, and it may already be out of hand. You know, ironically, Reverend Bullock, this story that we're talking about this morning comes the day after our state legislature just approved a concealed weapons, a widening of concealed weapons allowance. You can now bring your gun into church, into school, into libraries. It seems to me that we're moving in the wrong direction. With regard, I'm all for the Second Amendment. I'm not going to say that I am anti-gun, but I am anti-violence. I certainly am anti-racism, and I am profoundly anti-stereotype. And by the way, it's not just black youth that play their music loud. It's not just black youth that wear their hats differently or let their pants sag. Let's stop using these stereotypes, Reverend Bullock, as we're unfortunately out of time. We need more than patience. We need healing.
That's right. We need healing. So happy to be with you this morning. We've got to fight against this rising tide of violence. And more than that, we've got to realize that guns are not the answer.
Absolutely. Reverend Bullock, thank you so much. We'll look forward to visiting with you again next Friday and appreciate what is the beginning of a beautiful relationship. Thank you again.
Thank you.
You bet. Let's take a quick break here. State Representative Lisa Brown when First Shift continues.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
This traffic report brought to you by Xfinity Internet.
Checking your rush hour traffic, 696 westbound after Mound Road, accident has your left shoulder blocked. Left shoulder is also blocked on 696 westbound just before DeQuinder. Another accident has your left shoulder blocked on Telegraph Road, northbound just after 696. They've cleared the accident on 75 northbound after West Road, but traffic is still slow from Gibraltar. And we got some heavy stop-and-go traffic on 94 westbound between Michigan Avenue and U.S. 23. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
Xfinity Internet, where all of our lanes are fast lanes. Get started with Xfinity Internet for just $19.99 a month for 6 months. Sign up today by calling 1-800-XFINITY.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 43 with a chance of showers in the late afternoon. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 52 degrees. And it's currently 39 outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Sorry, we're closed.
and one of the saddest signs of the times, this message is popping up all across the country as governors and legislators are cutting off funds and shutting off access to one of the finest, most popular assets owned by the people of our country, state parks. More than 6,600 of these jewels draw some 700 million visitors a year to their grand vistas, historic sites, wildlife, campgrounds, educational centers, and lodges. Parks are literally a tangible expression of America's democratic ideals, common ground for every man, woman, and child to enjoy and experience. For the middle class and the poor, who can't jet off to luxury resorts for a getaway or vacation, these spaces offer a form of real wealth, something that each of us literally owns, knitting us together as a community and a nation. Yet, too many spiritually shriveled, small-minded, and short-sighted state officials are snuffing out this uniting social force, stupidly treating parks as nothing but a budget number, or worse, a piece of the nanny state to be axed in the name of ideological purity. Top politicos in most states are closing many of their parks, slashing hours and services at others, or simply handing over the public's asset to profiteering corporations. Idaho's governor has proposed eliminating the entire parks department. California shut the gates of a fourth of the state's parks last year. Officials in Arizona and Florida intend to privatize their parks. Washington State has cut off most of its park funding, and Ohio has okayed oil drilling in its parks to replace state financing. This is Jim Hightower saying, as Woody Guthrie said of outlaws, some will rob you with a six-gun, some with a fountain pen. Shutting parks is theft by the in-laws, the political insiders who are stealing the people's property, stealing from America itself.
To get more of Jim Hightower's populist take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to, visit www.hightowerlowdown.org.
Recently on First Shift,
Pastor Reverend D. Alexander Bullock.
If we're organized, then we can push the elected officials to represent the people, to make sure that resources are expanded and spread throughout the region in a way that is equitable and helpful for all people. We should have no child left behind, no community left behind. We should not have a race to the bottom, but there should be a floor for the poor and indeed a roof for the rich.
First Shift with Tony Trivino on 1310 WDT.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 8 o'clock. Well, the lame duck session of the state legislature is not very lame, and you better duck because the stuff they're throwing around up there could hurt you. Up there, of course, would be Lansing. There is a omnibus series of bills that we have talked about exhaustively on this program. You'll recall back this summer, State Representative Lisa Brown and Barb Byram were punished for, God forbid, speaking their mind, because women, by the way, are meant to be seen and not heard, right? Not so much, folks, not so much. The series of bills I'm talking about would be the most punitive towards women in the country and would take away true health care opportunities, especially for those that need these services the most. Well, joining us now is State Representative Lisa Brown to talk about this tomfoolery, and we want to welcome her to First Shift. And Lisa, let me first of all congratulate you on your Election Day victory and the new role you'll be playing soon enough.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you. I appreciate it, and always great to talk to you. So thanks for having me on this morning.
Well, I appreciate it. I don't think you're too concerned about being silenced any longer. In fact, you weren't concerned the first time. You didn't do anything wrong except speak the truth. You know, Lisa, as lame duck session goes, certainly your time in the state legislature, I would have to think this one's fairly unique, yes?
You know, I'm very anxious about it, and very worried about it. There's a lot of big issues that I think are trying to get pushed through at this very crucial time. I never think it's a good idea to rush something through. You know, I think good legislation takes a lot of time and a thoughtful process. There's education issues, there's right to work, and of course this, omnibus bill, House Bill 5711. So there's just so many issues that, you know, we're waiting to see what happened. But, I don't think lame duck is a time to suddenly make these big changes. And, you know, I kind of am bothered just by the whole idea of lame duck that, oh, now that the election's over, now we can take this up. Now that we've been reelected or, you know, or I'm term limited, whatever the situation may be, now we can take it up. Now it's safe to take up. And, you know, that mentality of, you know, not being accountable to your constituents and not following the will of the voters is, you know, disturbing to me.
Well it is disturbing. And let me just, I want to point out the Michigan Health and Hospital Association, the State Medical Society, the American Congress of Obstetricians and Gynecologists all oppose this legislation. And you know, they are constituents as well. These are individuals. They're not just names of organizations. These organizations right. are made up of people that make logical decisions based on what's best for the people they care for. And so, Representative Lisa Brown, it seems to me that this is incredibly punitive against and extremely sexist against a segment of our society, women who still in the year 2012 are having to fight for equality. This is just wrong.
It is wrong, and it absolutely is an attack on women. And, you know, I mean, we saw that even just with how this bill was treated when we think about committee. And people that came up to testify, and not one woman was allowed to testify. I mean, the room was packed, Tony. The room was packed. People turned in their cards to say, yes, I want to testify, and not one woman was called on to testify in opposition to this bill. You know, who is it affecting? Is it affecting doctors? Absolutely. It's telling them what they can and cannot do. It's affecting clinics, but it's also affecting women. And to not allow a woman, not a single woman, to testify. And then, so then you've got, you know, women on the floor who are speaking in opposition to this bill. And what do? They shut us down. You know, the whole way this, and of course, the language that's in the bill is anti-woman. You know, for people who say there's no war on women, I say, come to Lansing and watch what's happening up there.
Well, no, and you're right. You know, one of the things, and I don't know if you and I talked about this or not, but we certainly will now, we need more women in politics. And I was happy to see what's happened at the federal level. We have a record amount of women in the Senate, and so I'm very pleased with that. We elected more women to the House of Representatives, but at the state level, we desperately need women. And when you treat them the way you and your colleague Barb and others have been treated, and it's not like this is the first time this has happened. This has been going on for decades.
Yeah, I mean, and it's not just on the choice issue. You know, it's equal pay. I mean, I had a resolution, just a resolution acknowledging Pay Equality Day, and, you know, it got sent to committee. Whereas if you, you know, you do one for any other day, just saying it's, you know, Columbus Day, you know, it just gets gaveled on. But they can't even acknowledge that there's a problem with pay inequity in the state. And, you know, to not, and of course we have bills requiring pay equity, and of course those don't get a hearing. I mean, there's so many issues that affect women. When you talk about the war on teachers, the majority of our educators are female. Not all of them, and my kids have had some great male teachers, but the majority of our educators are female and, in the classroom. You know, the war on the teachers. I think that's another battle in the war on women. I really do. And it's, you know, I don't see an end to it anytime soon. And it's very frustrating for me and it's very scary for me. You know, and to have women of all different ages. I mean, I've had young women, you know, teenagers come up and thank me, and I've had women who are old enough to be my grandma, you know, thank me for being a voice and, you know, for fighting for them. And especially women who are older than me saying, I already fought this fight. Why are you having to fight this fight that I already fought for you? Why are you having to fight it again? And that frustration. You know, it's and I wish I had an answer for them. We shouldn't be having to fight this fight all over again.
My guest again is State Representative Lisa Brown. You know, I had the former governor of Connecticut, Madeline Coonan, on this program some months back, Lisa, and she has recently written a book, and she is echoing the sentiments that you're sharing with us. The other day on the program, we were talking about this legislation, and we made clear that one of the things, one of the realities of this legislation, if a woman, God forbid, were to miscarry, she may not, under this legislation, be able to get what is called a DNC, and most people know what that is, in an appropriate and timely manner based on what this legislation would say. Well, I got a call from a doctor later on in the day that said that is absolutely true, that this is so restrictive, it is so detailed, that it literally ties the hands. And he said it goes against the oath we take as doctors. We won't be able to practice medicine in an ethical way if this passes.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary.
And yet the proponents of the bill say it's a bill to protect women. I mean, that's the joke of it all.
Well,
and we just saw what happened with a woman who, I believe it was in Ireland, right? Went into a Catholic hospital.
Right.
That the fetus was in distress, and because there was still a heartbeat, even though they knew it wasn't going to last, would not do anything to help her, and so she ended up passing away. I think that's what they want to happen in Michigan. And it's very scary. And the fact that, you know, Right to Life says this is their number one priority to have this bill pass this term. They wrote the legislation. They're not shy about saying that. And of course, that's really not how, you know, I don't think legislation should be written by lobbyists. That's where we also get a problem, by the way. But just the arrogance and the misleading information, the way that they that they pose it, is just not right.
All right, now my understanding, Representative Brown, is that this is passed in the House. It's now at the Senate, again, we've got a couple weeks left in the lame duck session. I guess a lot of this will just depend on what other agendas come up, as you, of course, you're very familiar with. Right to work may be an issue. We know that EAA and that package of bills is coming. It is we've got some serious stuff happening here in the lame duck. I'm not convinced the governor wouldn't sign this if it landed on his desk.
Well, the governor has said he wants changes in the bill, and I appreciate that. But what I would appreciate more is that he would just say he would veto this legislation.
He doesn't.
That's what I'd rather see. I'd rather him take a stand and say, I told you I don't want divisive issues. I told you I want jobs. Where are the jobs? I'd like him to stand up and be strong.
Yeah,
that's what I would like. But I believe that there will be a different version of this bill when it is voted on the Senate floor. But I don't know what it will look like. And again, I'd rather it just be vetoed. I don't know why we have to have any. We've already passed other legislation. We've already passed this term, coercive abortion, what they call partial birth abortion. We've already passed this kind of stuff. Why do we have to keep doing this? What is this? How is this moving Michigan forward?
Oh.
It's not. It's putting us backward. And I really would like the governor to just stand up and say enough is enough.
Well, he does
get to work on real issues that will really move Michigan forward.
Well, we would all love to see that. Lisa, can you stay with us a little longer? We've got a caller, and
sure.
I've got to get to a break. Thank you. State Representative Lisa Brown, my guest. We have much more to get to. Barbara, stay where you're at. We'll come to you right after the break. If you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. The email address, by the way, Tony@thetonyshow.org. We're going to take a very quick break here. We'll continue with this discussion on the other side. This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Stay with us. Tony Truppiano wanting to wish all of you the happiest and most joyous of holiday season. Whether you celebrate the Christmas holiday or just celebrate the time of year, know that we here at First Shift care about you and wish you the very best. Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. You are connected to the internet. I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
I am Tony Trupiano. He is Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local 299.
It just goes to show that boots on the ground and people at the voting polls, no matter if you make them stay 8-9 hours, this is America, and they tried voter suppression to keep people in line for 8-9 hours, elderly people. And you know what? They stood in line.
That's right.
They said, you're not going to steal this election from me. They tried to do everything in their power. Big money tried to do everything in their power. You can bet them 1%er sat home and got an absentee ballot and voted. They never waited no line. Them guys wouldn't stand in line for a cup of coffee.
On 1310, WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
We want to hear from you. Interact with First Shift. Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page. Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O. Or call us now, 1-888-552-3595. Now, back to the show and Tony.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before 9 o'clock. State Representative Lisa Brown is my guest. We are talking about a series of bills that are part of an omnibus measure that are incredibly restricting to women's reproductive choice and health. It is strictly a very partisan issue for those of us that believe that a woman should have all the decision to decide what to do with her body, and not legislators. These are head scratchers for us, but they are a reality, and we do have to pay attention. Lisa, let's go to the phones and welcome Barbara and Wayne. Barbara, thanks so much for calling this morning. You're on the air with Representative Lisa Brown.
Good morning to both of you. I wanted to have the representative comment on this morning. I heard that they voted down the version of the affordable health care that's been provided for the states in lieu of creating their own version of that.
The and health like exchange.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't sit on health policy. That did happen yesterday in that committee hearing. But, they did not pass the state health care exchange out of that committee. So I was asking one of my colleagues about it yesterday while we were on the floor just to find out what had happened. But I don't want to – I can't say too much about it because I'm not on that committee. But I know that it did not pass out of committee.
It did not. And, Barbara, thank you for your call. Let me just quickly tell you that because I did do some reading on this before the show today, it was done purely for political reasons. It was to send a message. In fact, the speaker, Jace Bulger, Lisa – said that this was purely to send a message to the federal government that they have no business in our business. Well, We know what the answer to that is because the ACA does one thing. If you don't create your own exchange, the government will do it for you.
That's the irony of the whole thing,
yeah.
Isn't it, Tony?
Yeah, it is the irony of the whole thing. So.
And by the way, if government shouldn't be in our business, then why are they pushing forth House Bill 5711?
Great question. Great question. Let's go back to the phones and welcome Bill in Canton. Bill, thanks for joining us this morning. You're on the air with State Representative Lisa Brown.
Good morning. You know, you used the word earlier, frustrating, and in this, all of this, if it's the exchange, if it's reproductive rights, dominion over one's body, it's so frustrating that the party or the ideology that talks about small government and talks about not wanting to give people access to health care because they don't want the government between them and their doctor, are the exact same people that want to hang out in your bedroom and in your body. And
yeah.
It is absolutely absurd that we have to go through these cycles of legislative acts and what I think is torment to women time and time again. We cannot continue to do this. If women cannot have dominion over their own bodies and over their own reproductive rights, they cannot be full citizens. And they cannot enjoy the things that life brings every human. It is absolutely absurd that they're doing this. And my question to you is, how can, and I understand the concepts of dual sovereignty and the questions of, state legislatures versus the federal government. Constitutionally, according to the Supreme Court, a woman has the right to seek out this kind of medical solution. How can the state of Michigan prevent her from doing it?
That's a great question. Bill, thank you for your call and your passion. Representative Lisa Brown, I'll let you take it. I'm sure you got plenty to say about that.
Yeah, and Bill, thank you so much for everything that you said. The way that it's a backdoor way to overturning Roe versus Wade, and that is that they put so many regulations on the clinics and the doctors that they would be forced to close. So that's how they're taking away our choice by having nowhere to go. It's very conniving for one word to be that I would use, and that's how they do it. That's how they do it by eventually and effectively forcing any clinic or doctor's office that provides that type of service to have to close their doors.
Well, we'll articulate this a little bit. It would require an investment in standalone medical facilities. It would require such prohibitive insurance premiums that doctors would literally have to stop performing certain services. And Representative Brown, I really appreciate Bill's frustration and Bill's passion. And I think there are a lot of men that feel the way he does. And I know there are a lot of women that feel the way he does. But this really is a decision that should be made between a woman, her doctor, and her God.
Yeah. Yeah. As Bill said, you have a group of politicians who say we want small government, who say don't regulate business. And then they push this type of legislation forth that is exactly opposite of what they're usually claiming. The hypocrisy of it. I know people, after I was banned and I got sent every kind of vagina thing you can imagine, but, people put on Facebook, a government so small it can fit in my vagina. And that's what we're talking about. Why are you trying to make a decision about my body? We don't have that in any other context, any kind of medical condition, nothing. And I think that was Barb's point with the vasectomy. You want to regulate us? Well, then, let make it fair. it's just like Viagra being covered by insurance, but birth control isn't, in certain plans. It's the same kind of thing. And, it should be between a woman and her doctor. And, I think that there are people who think that, it's an easy decision for a woman to make, or it's something that, I think I'll just wake up tomorrow. I think I'll just go get an abortion. That's not an easy decision for, I'm sure, any woman to have to make. And it's not something you plan on having to happen. There were bills, and I'm assuming now that they'll be dead now that the healthcare exchange is dead, but that You know, abortion services wouldn't be provided under the state exchange, and but you could get a rider. Well, you know, no one plans to have an abortion. That's not something that you think you're going to need.
Yeah,
especially if a woman is raped. You know, there's all these different circumstances. If there's something wrong that you find out that the fetus isn't going to you know, make it. You know, things like that. And you know, or this philosophy that it's just another form of birth control. Like, it's just so easy for a woman to have to, you know, make that decision and go through that. It's really offensive.
It is offensive. Let's go to the phones and welcome Doris and Flint. And Doris, Merry Christmas to you. Welcome back to First Shift. You're on the air with State Representative Lisa Brown.
Hi. I had to call because I have a position. I was just going to say that when they're talking about, you know, they don't want to be come between a doctor and their patient. Well, aren't they doing that by taking away all these abilities to do what doctors who participate in that would do and what the patient would want to do, number one? So they are coming between a doctor and the patient. The second thing, you know how the poll tax was mainly intended to prevent, like, African-Americans from voting? It was not so transparent, but the whole point was to do that, and that has been addressed because of the intent. Well, the intent here of creating facilities that are outrageously beyond any hospital qualifications for doing this procedure, to me it's the same thing. It's pretty transparent, and the issue of the intent there, I think, should be addressed, because that is the intent to take away their rights.
Absolutely. Doris, we're just out of time. Representative Lisa Brown, we're just out of time. Lisa, don't go quietly into that good night. We need you for a couple more weeks.
Me be quiet? Tony, come on now.
I love you. I absolutely love you. Congratulations again, and have a great holiday season. Folks, a break for the top of the hour. Joe DeSano, and we continue.
Where you can see.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Let's check your rush hour traffic. We have an accident that is blocking all lanes on 75 southbound at Lunar Pier Road. Traffic is getting by on the right shoulder only, and you got stop and go traffic from South Otter Creek Road. Also, we got an accident on Telegraph Road northbound after 696. That's blocking your left shoulder. And we got slow moving traffic on 75 northbound between 696 and 14 Mile. Also on the Lodge southbound between 7 Mile and the Davison. That is your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be 43 with a chance of showers in the late afternoon. Tonight, a low of 35. Tomorrow, partly cloudy and 52 degrees. And it's currently 39 outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Tony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Not